106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. It's time once again for the Rodney on the Rock show.
Nope.
And just heard something brand new. It's a band called Them Guns.
Reason.
That's called Horoscope. That's actually Priscilla Presley's son.
Oh.
Navarone is his name. He got the name of his band from the movie Guns of Navarone. Them Guns.
Okay.
Navarone.
And that was called Horoscope.
It was Weezer.
And they just did San Diego and they're touring around.
That's great.
And they just played over at the Viper Room on Friday, and tons of people were there, including Priscilla Presley's parents.
What?
Riley Keough.
What?
Jerry Shinning. Harvey Kubernick.
Wow.
Kara Fowley.
Is he just making up names?
I don't know what he's doing. I don't.
Jerry Shinning, who was, you know, Elvis Presley's main guy.
How much are we going to hear about
bodyguard
this?
Bodyguard and from the Memphis Mafia.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they were all there to see Them Guns.
Right.
Pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing, Rodney. Okay, thank you. Thank you for bringing us up to speed on that.
Let's hear those names again. Maybe later in the show if we have time.
Hey, Ralph is on vacation this Thanksgiving week, but we couldn't be more delighted to welcome our close personal friend, Allie McKay, who steps in for the showbiz beat now.
Thank you.
For another day here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm frankly surprised and thrilled that you came back after yesterday. Thank you, Allie.
That's okay. There were many phone calls apologizing for
your
behavior, Bean. but I decided to come back.
And the lawyers worked it out? We're cool now?
We're fine.
We're fine.
Absolutely. You know I love you guys. Let's talk a little showbiz beat.
All right.
Bill Cosby. Been in the news quite a bit lately. But instead of talking about his sexual assaults, allegedly, his alleged rapes, let's talk about just creepy, shall we?
Oh, okay.
Just plain old creepy. This is a story. I don't even know how to word it. But when he would go into CBS to be on Late Show with Dave Letterman, he would ask that the interns and female assistants come in, sit in there in silence, and watch him eat curry.
What? Wait, what?
More than once, too.
It was part of his rider that they are to come in, do not speak, but watch him eat curry.
Now, why?
Why?
Did Letterman allow that?
That's my question. His producers, him, everyone said, hey, this is just part of the gig. Are you kidding?
Because he's Bill Cosby.
I guess so.
I mean.
And they wanted to have him as a guest.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's insane.
It's so weird, and it's such a power trip of epic,
bizarre proportions. That's just.
I would like a phone topic one day, Kevin, on things that that romantic partners have asked you to do, to watch, that turns them on. Not touching, just watching.
Hmm. All right.
I'm going to go with eating curry, not top 100.
No, not top 100.
No,
How is that a thing? What is it about eating curry, of girls watching him eat curry, would turn on the cause?
Just bizarre. Just bizarre.
That's odd.
Yeah. Said one staffer, no one would say anything, and he would sit silently eating and make us watch and want us to watch.
Is it just a power play?
I would say.
I think it is.
Yeah. But why does it have to be curry?
I think that's the real question, Lisa. Well,
I'm guessing that's just what he liked. I don't think that's
part of it. Okay, so that wasn't part of it.
I don't
think so. It's just the making women sit and watch you.
Yes.
Huh.
Interesting. Yeah, just thought.
I mean, we've talked a lot about that. There are mostly guys who get turned on by watching women eat. We've heard that before. Those people, you know,
like the really, really fat women
that eat all the time. Yeah.
Wow.
There are guys who get turned on by that, but I've never heard of this before.
I'd like to meet some of them. Maybe go get dinner.
Pressure would be off, wouldn't it, Allie?
Wouldn't it,
eat whatever
though?
You want.
Wouldn't it, though? Absolutely. Well, when you think of Ariana Grande, she's a great young singer.
Okay.
Dancer.
Yes.
Entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not according to some would say a legend who said, all I see is her slithering on a couch with her silly high voice. Here's the quote that got me. You don't have to make a whore out of yourself to get ahead. And who would that legend be? Bette Midler. What?
Really?
Bette Midler, why are you even talking about Ariana Grande? How did she enter your realm?
I'm surprised by this only because she doesn't seem particularly slutty to me.
Ariana Grande?
Yeah.
She doesn't. She seems like
she's just
a 12-year-old's body.
She's the one that
wearing
has
a
the
cute little dress.
Diva.
She has
yes,
a quiet,
the story,
right?
The diva.
Yes,
quiet. And the ponytail, right.
Don't you imagine that's what she's reacting to, is that whole thing?
Maybe, but I mean, the way the quote read, though, it makes it sound like she's running around with most of her clothes off. There are a lot of other you know, girls on the radio that wear less than Ariana Grande.
On the
she's
radio.
A bitch.
Oh, wow. There it is. There it is right there. Well, here's my thing, too. Bette Midler has always been this champion for other women. It's just a bizarre way of going about it.
The thing that has driven me crazy about her over the years is that she acts all sexy.
Bette Midler?
And I feel like that's... You're looking at your mom. You know, maybe less sexy from you. You're no, thank you. I want
Ariana.
You've been
saying that forever.
Because
have
she
you really?
She's one of my pet peeves.
There's something about her that reminds you of your mom. That's the problem.
Wow. Well, first of all, her
Let's
age.
Tap into this.
Second of all, doesn't she look like everyone's mom?
She doesn't look like my mom. She kind of looks like my mom.
Does see?
Yeah.
There you go.
Now that I think about it.
I don't want to see that person being sexy.
No.
But she's taking on her.
And my mom also said you don't have to be a whore to get ahead. But then caveat, she said it helps.
It does help, yeah.
So thanks,
and she
mom.
Said that to you.
She said it to me.
All right.
Still says it to me. Actually, quite often. Well, you know, Snoop Dogg, if he were to have a luxury candle line that he's putting out, which he reportedly is, wouldn't you think one of those scents would be...
Weed?
Yep.
Yeah.
I would think all of them would be weed.
All or all. No, none of them.
What?
He's going with a limited edition, high-end quality, luxurious candle line, white rose or baby powder variety.
Huh.
I don't want to smell baby powder.
I don't either.
Unless it's like on a baby's bottom, which, again, I don't really want to smell that, but it just, it's not... Sexy baby powder? No.
What is Snoop doing? Does he? Do you think he's aware?
They mask the scent of pot. Is that the thing?
I don't know. Good thought,
Lisa.
Good thought.
Just think.
Wow.
Outside the box.
I'll say. The hot box.
Wow.
Sorry about that, you guys. I'm not up yet. It'll be much better later. A lot going on in the news last night. Of course, everyone mostly tuned in to CNN, MSNBC, Fox, everything. But I will have some Dancing with the Stars updates in the next Showbiz Beat. But for now,
if we have time.
I mean, I'm going to make time for
it. But we're saying if there's time for that.
I'll probably lead with it if you...
Well, then, you know, we'll
don't
see.
Come back. Well, then don't come
we
back.
We may not do Showbiz next hour.
Some birthdays for you. Christina Applegate is turning 43. Joel Kinnaman, you know him from RoboCop and the Killing. He is 35. Jerry Ferrara, 35 years old. He is a delight, by the way.
Is he really?
He owns a place called Fat Sal's. Him and a couple other guys. Great sandwich shop. Not trying to get sandwiches, but if you wanted
is
to
he,
bring them by.
He's not Turtle, is he?
He is Turtle.
And he is Turtle. Okay.
Google him now. Turtle is smoking hot.
What?
Is that right?
He lost a ton of weight.
Really?
He's a babe. Way to go, Jerry.
Do you want him to bring you a sandwich and watch you eat it?
Not bad.
All right.
Do you have curry sandwiches? And Rancid guitarist Tim Armstrong is 48. I'm Hallie McKay with the show this week.
We've got two chances for you this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show to win your way into the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. Of course, at 9 a.m., like we do every weekday, we've got them for you, and every hour throughout the day up till 5 p.m. But we got a bonus chance for you to earn your way in coming up before then. So that's all coming up this morning on K-Rock.
Here's the thing in radio. It's called running a tight board. Mm-hmm. Got to keep things tight.
Yes.
You can't have a lot of dead air.
Yep.
They teach you this as you're coming up. Make it as close as you can. You know, if you're going into a commercial at the end of a sentence, don't wait. Just go right into it.
And that's for momentum reason?
Yeah.
That's just so people are – it sounds exciting and dynamic?
It just sounds best that way because you're not wasting time. And mm-hmm. I've developed a thing on the phone where it drives me – I don't really like talking on the phone all that much anyway. But it drives me crazy when somebody starts to say goodbye and then you don't hang up for 50 seconds or a minute. You go, okay – good luck. Okay, great to talk to you. I'll talk to you, let's see, when will I talk to you? Whenever. Thanks for calling. Okay.
So let me make sure I understand this.
All right. Talk to you later. It was fun. So give everybody my best.
Hold on. What you're saying is because that is annoying to you in your real life that people don't have a clean out.
Yes.
You're saying that's why you hang up on so many guests of ours on the radio show?
Sort of. That's why I try to, quote, keep it tight. Mm-hmm. I don't try to hang up on them. Those are mistakes.
That's the
Is this why you hate and so often make fun of PBS and NPR? Is because of the luxurious pace at which they broadcast?
And by luxurious, you mean glacier-like. I like things to keep moving, keep going. Let's go. What's next? That's what I like.
Okay.
But occasionally, it bites me in the ass. Now, most of the time when we're talking to a guest, I have a volume and I can hang up. Mm-hmm. So I turn the volume down, and then Bean talks, or we go into commercial or something else, and then I hang up on them without them being on the air.
Right, we don't hear the click.
Occasionally, like the guy from the Church of Superheroes, Corby Brand, I did hang up on him while he was talking.
Corby Brand is our guest. You can find him at Church of Superheroes at Facebook. Thanks for the time, Corby. Good luck to you, sir.
Thanks, guys. Have a great...
So that happened. So I hear thanks, guys, and I think perfect go into a commercial.
But this is a perfect example of why I so often say to you, what's the downside of giving it a second to see if he's done or hangs up?
Because if he's not done, Bean, then we get into the black hole of goodbyes. All right, good to talk to you. Thanks for talking. I really appreciate your time. Hey, no problem. You're doing a good job out there. All right, we'll
talk to you soon. All he was saying was have a nice day, though.
He said, all right. That's it. I'm out.
I still don't understand why you're in such a hurry that you can't give it a half a second to breathe. I really don't.
I'll tell you who I wish I would have given a half a second to breathe, and that's Megan Fox.
Oh.
Because, you know.
Yeah.
Right? You know.
Thanks, totally. Megan. Have a great weekend.
Right. Thank you, bye.
God.
All right, now, when you listen back to that tape, don't you say, I was too quick to hit the button? She wasn't stalling. She wasn't rambling. She literally was just saying thanks.
But she
you
said
couldn't even give her thanks. It was a one-syllable word.
But wait, she says, thanks, Megan. Have a great weekend. All right, so she said, all right, and I was going to go right into a commercial. That's a good out for me. Let me ask you a question, everyone that's mad at me. How many times do you see people say goodbye on TV? The answer? Never.
They don't.
You will never. They end the conversation, and they will never, ever, ever say goodbye.
But that's a dramatic license, though. That's not real life. They don't even say hello most of the time on the phone on television.
So let's do that. All right, here's Megan Fox.
Thanks, Megan. Have a great weekend.
Right. Thank you, buddy. Yeah. So now, again, most of the time I would turn down her volume so you wouldn't hear her say that, but then...
But she hears it,
yeah.
And I think that really leaves you with a bad taste in your mouth.
Yes.
It could have been a nice interview, and then it feels like she got kicked out the door.
Let me just bring up one more thing. When we do phone topics and we're talking about a certain topic, we have people call in. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they'll be done with their story. I turn the volume down, but I leave them on hold while Bean talks or whatever. And if he wants to go back to them, I bring them back up. If we want to move on, I just hang up on them. It's not meant to be rude. It's just meant to sound
But at least good. In that case, they can hear that we're moving on to something else and that we're done. They don't feel like they've missed the end of the conversation. At least they know what happened. Megan Fox... She just felt like, what did I do? I'm trying to be a nice lady coming on the radio show.
And there was Paul McCartney.
I don't know if we'll ever have a chance to do this again, Sir Paul, but thank you so much for the time. It's a real honor to have you on the program today.
Listen, that was a really nice interview. So, I hope to see you at the gig.
Absolutely, sir. Thanks for the call.
Let's make it a date.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you guys. Bye.
Paul McCartney.
Well, he was saying goodbye. He said, see you guys. In my defense, he said, see you guys. That is goodbye.
And the prosecution asks, if you had waited another half a second, he would have gotten out his whatever the next thing he said, which was essentially his continuation of goodbye. And that would have been fine. Would have been fine if he would have finished.
So Brooke Shields comes on last week.
Now, Lisa, this is where You were out, so you missed this.
Yes.
So you haven't heard the Brooke
Shields
disaster.
Did you do to Brooke?
By the way, let me just back up and say, this doesn't make me happy. When I do that, I get mad at myself because I don't want these people to get hung up on. But I am trying to just keep things moving. So when I hang up on them, I feel bad. It's not something that makes me happy. But Brooke Shields was especially bad. Now, she called, and she's
very nice lady.
Yeah. Very nice. Talked about her book. Mm-hmm. Had a very lovely conversation.
Smart, talented. We're happy to have her.
So in this case, what I did is the worst thing that I could do, which is start a commercial but leave her on the phone up at full volume.
What?
So most of the time, like, I'll turn down the volume of the caller and start the commercial at full volume. Mm-hmm. I left them both up. So now I started the commercial, and she continues talking. And then she realizes that while she's talking, she's hearing a commercial. This is what that sounded like.
Follow Ms. Shields on Twitter, at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, guys.
It's Cerritos Hollow Square's two-week Black Friday sale going on now.
Okay. Did she just fade away?
So she said, thank you, thank you. And I thought, perfect, go into a commercial. And then she went on to talk. And so Beer Mug went in the other room, and he separated the commercials so that we could just hear Brooke Shields.
Yes.
Now, before you play this.
This
is one of the saddest pieces of tape that's ever happened on this program, because you could hear her lust for life just leaving her body, just disappearing. I mean, she is defeated. She is broken. She is sad.
She's flowers.
We should.
We should. Because
she's probably still not over what happened here.
She started talking, then she hears the commercial and just, like Bean said, just loses the will to live.
Follow Ms. Shields on Twitter, at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, guys. I listen when I'm in LA. I listen to you guys.
I listen to you guys. Oh. When I'm in LA.
What happened, man?
Follow Ms. Shields on Twitter, at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, guys. I listen when I'm in LA. I listen to you guys.
Yeah. So that happened.
You cannot be trusted. You can't.
Can I get everyone's vote on starting a commercial now?
No. Let's go to Lightning real quick. He's on line 9. He's got a quick question here.
Yes, Lightning.
So, guys, over the many years, Kevin has hung up on me, and it's like when you're so excited to win, like, the big game or something, and you go to high-five your friend, and they leave you hanging, just walk away.
Wait, you're talking about it in real life?
In real life. In real life. It's just like, because I've been hung up by you, hung up on by you, and I feel like, hey, high-five.
It's a sense of closure that you're deprived of, right, Lightning? Like, it's not a comfortable way to end a conversation.
Absolutely uncomfortable. Your hand is still in the air, and I turn around and just walk away, and my hand slowly goes down by the
And you hope no one saw.
That's exactly right. You are a dick.
So you can feel Brooke Shields' pain, then, when you hear that tape.
100%.
Sir, your thoughts?
I think Kevin is doing exactly as well as anyone might have expected someone like him to perform in a position like that.
All right, we good?
We're good.
Being good,
bye,
Lisa, good.
I'm good.
Bye, Light.
Don't hang up on me.
Great to talk to you, buddy.
Okay.
Hope to see you sometime soon. You're doing good work with that Lightning Strikes feature.
This is great. I'll see you guys next week.
All right. Bye-bye then.
All right.
Our best to your family.
Appreciate that.
Thanks for tuning in this morning, party people. We really appreciate it. I had a conversation with my friend Andrew the other day that I thought would be interesting to share and to get some phone calls on.
Just before you tell that story, can I talk about the charity real quick?
Yeah. You want to talk about a good charity, yes. I'll tell you about a bad charity.
Okay. My wife and I run a charity, friendsandhelpers.org, and we just got 223 new families that need support for the holidays.
Wow.
Wow.
And, of course, I say, hey, we can't do that. And she says, so you don't want the kids having anything for Christmas? And I was like, all right. You can't argue that.
No.
So if you haven't helped us yet and you would like to, it's friendsandhelpers.org. You can go there. You can adopt a family, wrap the presents. You can buy stockings, support it. However, it's a legitimate charity, 501c3. That's what you have to do. You have to, you know, register with the IRS. They have to approve you. Mm-hmm. You have to prove with all of your records that everything is copacetic. Everything's on the up and up. And we've done that. And 100% of the proceeds do go to these people in need.
No administrative fees
Zero.
Are paid by the people who donate.
Right. So you donate and all of it goes to these
That's
people.
That's amazing. Nobody does that.
And we've really, really, really worked hard on that. Now, to Bean's friend, who I don't even know what to make of this because I've supported this next topic many times.
Mm-hmm. We all have. We all have. And I don't know why we've never talked about this before, but he was on his way to a Dodgers game a couple of months ago and stopped. I think he said he stopped at the Ralph's in Echo Park, I want to say, on the way down to the Dodger game to pick up some stuff. I don't know what it was. And a little kid approached him and said, "Hey, I'm selling candy for," I think it was a field trip. Selling candy for a field trip. But we all have seen the rap. We all have seen the stories of I'm selling candy for uniforms. I'm selling candy for my sports league. I'm selling candy for after school programs. We've all seen those. So he thought, hey, I'm happy to help out this cute little kid. I'll give him a couple of bucks and get some chocolate or whatever it was. And the little tyke went on his way. And his girlfriend turned to him and said, "You know you just got scammed, right?" And he's like, "What are you talking about? The little kid's just trying to go to, you know, go to summer camp, to a field trip, whatever."
What's wrong with that person? Why can't the little kid go to summer school or camp
right,
or whatever?
Don't make
it is.
A little kid sad.
Right. Right.
So she said, "There's absolutely no way that's for real. None of those kids are for real." And he said, "You're insane. Who hurt you?" So he remembered, and I don't remember. It was the name of the organization that the kid was pimping was like Starlight or something like that. So he, when he got home from the Dodgers game, first thing he did was went online and Googled it up. And of course, it does not exist. Not an organization that is for real.
So
right?
So that was a complete scam. That was just somebody that what got the chocolate bars for.
We don't know for sure, but upon further investigation, apparently this is a thing that has been going on for years and years and years, and it has lots of different ways that it works. One of the ways that it works is that there are adults who drop kids off in the neighborhood, and basically it's slave labor. They make them sell the candy. They'll sell the candy for $2. The kid might get 40 cents of it or something like that. And then the adults who are running the scam keep the rest of the money.
But what about summer camp?
The question that I have for the Kevin and Bean listeners here this morning, because I don't think we've ever talked about this before, is are any of these little kids who are selling candy, sometimes in shopping centers like Andrew ran into, sometimes going door to door, are any of these legitimate? Are there real organizations that do sell candy for the thing that it's actually being advertised for? Or are all of them scams? And what kinds of experiences have you had with buying candy from kids? What you found out about what their plans were? Or, and this would be the best case of all, if we have any listeners who used to be involved in it,
yes,
who used to be the kids who went out and tried to sell the candy, what's going on with this thing?
I have many times purchased candy from those kids and those chocolate bars. It's like old chocolate roulette. You have no idea. You can get a chocolate bar and open it up, and it's like 10 years old, and it's white and flaky, and you go, nope. Not even that.
But I remember, we sold those in school,
you
too.
Did you?
Yeah.
And was it a scam?
In high school, no, it wasn't. But they were very specific bars that were created by some company that the schools would buy them from for
maybe
the different projects.
By the name of the chocolate bar, you can
maybe.
Tell?
Maybe.
Do the Boy Scouts and or the Girl Scouts have legitimate programs where they sell candy? Do you know?
Well, I don't know. I know the cookies.
Other
I don't know
cookies,
about candy.
I don't think so.
When you type in kids selling candy on Google, and we're going to take your calls on this if you have any experience on either side of this story or have something to share with us at 1-800-520-1067. Type in kids selling candy, and the first article that comes up is from ABC News. It's summer, and that means you'll probably be approached by some candy kids any day now. You'll see them downtown, on the subway, on your own front door in the suburbs. They're selling chocolate for a cause, or so they say. These kids often claim they're peddling candy so they won't have to peddle drugs. Sound familiar? About 50,000 yep. children nationwide are involved. They're often underprivileged and underage. Make no mistake. These are not your neighbor's kids selling something to support their soccer team or a Girl Scout troop. These children are often poor, and they're being bussed in to sell to you. The U.S. Department of Labor says it's being exploited by greedy adults. They sell sweets, but bite in deep enough, and you will taste the truth.
Oh! Bum, 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 bum.
So that was from an ABC News report. Let's take one call. Oh, we don't have time to take a call yet. But listen, Hannah, you hang on. Tommy, you hang on. We want to hear for reals what's going on with the kids selling candy. Have you been a part of this, or what have you found out about it? And do you buy candy from the kids who come up? Because, you know, there's like my friend Andrew, even after he realized he'd been duped, he thought, you know what, the kid's out there hustling. He'll make a little bit of money off of it. Maybe the story wasn't legit, but I don't want to make a little kid sad, and I like chocolate. So
there you go.
He feels like there's no downside to it. But what do you think? We'll take your calls next right after this on the world-famous K-Rock. Talking about those little kids that maybe knock on your door or approach you when you're out shopping and they say, hey, mister, I'm just trying to get some uniforms for my sports team. Can you please buy some chocolate? Are they legit? That's the topic at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Jared? He's in Burbank. He's on line 5 to get us going here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Jared.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you, Lisa May?
Good.
What say you?
So yeah, it's totally bogus. There's been a huge influx in these kids and men and women as well.
All right, but Jared,
the last 15 to 20 years.
How do you know?
How do I know? Because
I've seen
it before. I've seen them hook up the sales, and then they'll go take some of that money and either go to the liquor store or go to the candy man and get some ice cream from the ice cream truck.
I support candy from the ice cream truck.
So you don't think there's anybody out there legitimately selling? You think all of them are scams if they come around?
I think there is. My kids were in Girl Scouts, and we saw it, you know, legit from time to time, but. There's a lot of stuff going on baseball fields and other park and rec fields where families will come in that are either coaching or managing teams, and they'll sell stuff on the stands, and then they'll hand over that money straight away to their kids and you know, have them go buy other stuff from here and there, and it's
wow.
it's for the team, we're going to buy, you know, stuff, but I don't buy it.
Good times. All right, man, thanks for the call. Let's go to Liz in La Mirada. She's up next. She's on line 3, please.
Hey, Liz.
Hi, good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Good, thanks.
What's
little kids
going on?
Selling candy. What's up?
So we have people knocking on our door all the time for selling newspapers, you know, candy, feed a child, like anything. And what my husband does is he just donates money. He won't buy the product. He just, here's $5. Oh, will you take a donation? Here's $10.
Oh.
And it just makes me so upset. I tell him, why do you keep throwing our money away? And he's like, I'm like, you know that. You don't know where it's going. You haven't even researched the organization. And I give him this whole spiel every single time. And he always tells me pretty much the same thing. He's like, you know what? Doesn't matter if that kid is going to spend my money on a Coke or, you know, going to treat himself to the movies. At least that kid is doing a lot more than our lazy teenager is. He's out there.
Oh, wow.
They are hustling.
Yeah, he's out there hustling. Yep.
That's a good point.
So he's just impressed that the kid is out there just trying to get something done.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
You know,
you know what this is, kind of, Liz. It's interesting that you bring up the story how differently you approach it from your husband. Is this is kind of, do I give money to the homeless person, not knowing what they'll do with it, or do I give money to an actual organization that I've researched and know that they help the homeless? I mean, I guess it's two different ways to approach the problem, and we all look at it differently.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. All right. Let's go to Angie in L.A. She's got a little bit of a different perspective for us on line 1.
Hi, Angie.
Hi.
You used to sell candy?
Yes. Actually, I was one of those kids that sold, but it wasn't necessarily a scam. It was actually mandatory since I went to Catholic school my whole life from kinder to senior year.
Right.
So it was mandatory that you had to sell 4 boxes. 40 chocolates each. If not, you have to pay out of your pocket. It's part of the contract to go to a Catholic school. And the parents never saw money of it. It just went back to the school. They make you, it sounded like it was for tuition, but really, it just went for money for the school.
Huh. Really?
Is there a way to tell, how do you tell the real ones from the scams?
So anything world famous, if you see like world famous, that's what's going through school. So any private school kid you see saying, oh, I have to sell this, it's mandatory, they're probably telling the truth.
Okay.
You know, I'm hearing that from a bunch of other listeners who are writing in on the Facebook page and email. I am a teacher. Sometimes my school sells World's Finest Chocolate. I think that is the brand that legitimate schools sell. So maybe that's at least one tip off that the thing might be more legitimate than not. But hey, Angie, I have to ask, do you still have the uniform?
Oh, God. Yes,
that is. Wow.
have to wear it once a year for the boyfriend, but
sure.
That's another story.
She did. She was not happy to receive that question, was she? All right, Angie, thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it. All right, let's go to Shannon. He is on line 4, Rancho Cucamonga, please.
And then, Kevin, you hold on. He's a police officer who's dealt
oh,
with
great,
this.
Oh, great, great.
Hi, Shannon.
Hey, good morning, Lisa Mae.
Good morning.
Hey. So yeah. You're calling to say we thought you might talk.
Yeah, no, sorry. I'm an elementary school principal, and you have to have a parent with you. That is when they go to sign their release form to sell the candy. The parents have to be with them, or a guardian, or a teacher, and you're only selling, as you said, the world's finest. You're not selling the brand name candy that you'll see, per se, in a store.
Okay.
All right, but so wait, 99% of these kids who are out there hustling this candy do not have a parent with them.
Exactly. So that's a tip off to where this is not a legit fundraiser for your school or for another function that is organized in a legal way.
Hmm. Okay. All right. Thanks for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go from a principal to your man Kevin in Glendora, line 6. He'll have to give us the last word on this.
Hi, Kevin.
Good morning.
Tell us, we are good. Tell us about the little scammers versus the actual thing.
Well, I'm a police officer in the South Bay area, and when I was on patrol, we would get calls all the time, especially in the summer months, about small children out there selling candy. Obviously, there are legitimate fundraisers out there.
Whoa! What happened? Hello,
Kevin. Is that you doing that?
Not doing a thing. Well, still there?
Basically, they are basically vans of, adults will go out and drop off kids from 8 to 12, typically, and they'll give them the candy, and they have them out there all day long in front of businesses, and the kids hardly get any of that, but, to an 8-year-old, if you get any money, you're happy. So
yeah, if you get 50 cents out of that $2 candy bar, you feel like you've hit the gold mine, but the adult, you're saying, is getting the $1.50.
Absolutely. And I mean, in my particular incident that I was involved in, there was about, I'd say, 10 to 12 kids ranging from 8 to 12, and they were dropped off as early as 6, 7 in the morning.
Wow.
And they weren't getting picked up until about 4 or 5 in the afternoon, and they were out there by themselves the entire time.
Dude,
so we
that's
actually
rough.
Were able to, yeah, we set up and saw some of these adults come and pick them up. So.
So do you guys arrest those people? Is it
Absolutely.
Fraud?
Absolutely. Well, the problem is it's hard to really trace down, where this money is going. But the bottom line is these 8-year-old kids are sitting out on a street corner all day or in front of a business by themselves.
Right.
Isn't right.
My rule is if you're small enough to be cute or you're old enough to beat the crap out of me, I will buy your candy. But Kevin, does it make sense to you the thing with the world famous or what was it? The world's
finest chocolate.
World's finest chocolate
world's
is
finest. Yeah, that's a legitimate company.
Okay, so that's what to look for.
Right. And like that principal said, the last caller, obviously if there's some type of parent or guardian around, you can pretty much assume that's legitimate. It's these other folks that are dropping off these kids and leaving them out there all day by themselves.
Yeah. Right, because no one can fake being a parent. Okay, thanks, Kevin. We appreciate the call, man.
All right, take care, guys.
Okay, bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
He's never not funny. Great comedian. Jimmy Pardo joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. And from the Anaheim Ducks, Ryan Getzlaff later on today as well. Right now, Allie in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. Good morning, Allie.
Good morning, you guys. I want to send somebody to the home of the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. They're not mighty anymore. I apologize,
nope.
People of Anaheim. I want to send you to Disneyland. Cue the music. Nice. If you're caller 20 right now at 1-800-520-1067, you're going to win a pair of Disneyland Deluxe Annual Passports. That's a full year of Disneyland and California Adventure Parks. Oh, we were all just talking about our love for Disneyland. It's a beautiful
thing. Well, it is the happiest place on earth.
I have heard that, and I believe it.
This song will be stuck in my head all day.
Well, he could have played Small World, and then we're screwed
for
a week.
Yeah.
It's true. All right. Hey, you guys. Bono and U2 topping yet another list. This one, not something...
People most likely to not be at Acoustic Christmas?
Oh, not confirmed. Not confirmed yet.
We haven't heard anything.
Haven't heard anything.
Not a thing.
But this, Alyssa, not really something you want to brag about. GQ has listed them number one on their least influential people of 2014.
Oh, that's just mean.
Yeah, they say the $100 million to turn U2's socially conscious dad rock into a piece of direct mail, referring, of course, to their iPhone download.
Right.
Holy GQ. But, I mean, he's in okay company. The president.
By the way, before you move on. Before you move on.
Yes.
I am still shocked at the backlash on free music being available to people on their phone.
I really angered people.
If you don't want it, don't take it. If you want it, it's there. I don't know why people were so ticked off by that. Do you?
People like to be mad at something. That was what they could be mad at that day. But the fact were like, my privacy was infringed upon. No, people
are these
are
the same people who
right
complain
now.
That there are items on the buffet table that they don't personally eat?
Probably
it's the
same
sort
person.
Of thing, right?
Yeah, I like to, whenever people complain about you two on their phone, I'm mm-hmm. like, you know someone's watching you right now. On your laptop.
Maybe you should be more worried about that.
Yeah, be worried about that person as she puts a piece of tape over the viewer.
Yeah.
I would. President Barack Obama, number two on that list. Basically, GQ hates everything.
Yeah, that's both of those are weird, but okay.
All right, GQ.
Look, you cannot like the president. You cannot support the president. You can't doubt that he's influential,
right.
though.
Well, he's not as least influential as you two. So there you have it.
That's
so
a dumb
bizarre.
List. Dumb, right?
So bizarre.
We all in agreement? Dumb?
Yes.
Dumb.
Yes, we're in agreement.
The dumbest, maybe. Speaking of dumb, this blows my mind. Halle Berry took her baby's father, yes, Gabriel Aubrey, to court. Not for child support, not for anything like that, but because he highlighted and straightened their 6-year-old daughter's hair. And what? She claims it's to make her look more white. What is happening? But first of all, why is anyone highlighting a 6-year-old's head of hair? That's creepy and bizarre in itself.
But unless the little kid just wanted it to be fun, I don't know. Let's see. What person would force that on a kid? I'm
going
to highlight your hair right now.
Right?
That doesn't make sense.
Maybe she woke up and she was like, Daddy, I could use some low lights for the holidays. Do you think that happened?
Well, I don't know.
Probably not. Well, the judge has ordered that neither parent could alter the little one's hairstyle.
Oh, dear God.
So, thank God. Okay, yesterday we talked about the AMAs.
Yes.
Ratings came in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They were down 10% in total viewers. However, the best numbers in a decade among teens between 12 and 17.
Is that right?
Listen.
One Direction, you guys.
One Direction.
Yep. It's One Direction.
5 Seconds of Summer.
Yeah,
all
both of them
those
on the
bands.
Same show.
Absolutely. This part I enjoyed. However, ratings down. Because the number one, of course, would be Sunday Night Football, which pulled in nearly 20 million people, up 10% from the last year, also beat The Walking Dead for the first time in 3 weeks. Cowboys, Giants?
Yeah. NFL is a juggernaut on Sunday nights. It always destroys.
And the Cowboys are, you know, the highest rated team. Cowboys and Patriots are the two biggest teams on TV in terms of ratings. And obviously New York has got a huge, you know, huge viewership there just from being in that market.
But was Walking Dead too?
Walking Dead.
Number two?
Yeah, number two, but first time that it has been beaten in 3 weeks. I mean, that
Those
says
are
something.
Crazy numbers.
That's insane.
For AMC.
High.
It's all Rosita, dead. Man. It's all about Rosita.
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 She'll be in later.
Yes, she will.
Do you think she'll want to wear my llama outfit?
You could ask her.
You would prefer she does not. I get it. I can see
Very
that.
Very few people can actually pull it off.
But that is delightful.
I believe you're one of them.
Wow, that is really nice of you. I'm going to wrap this up with, something I have been dying to know, and Kate Hudson is the bearer of said info. She is giving up Hollywood's secret to the perfect body. Lisa, are you ready?
Really?
Jot this down.
Everything. Okay.
She says you have to work your bleep off,
uh-huh.
and you have to eat right. Finally!
Wait, what?
Has no one...
Wait, so, diet and exercise is
yes!
the key to having a good butt? What?
I know! Thank you.
What, is she
you.
From outer space?
Oh, Us Weekly, I appreciate that. I mean, Agree. My mind was absolutely blown with that. Celebrity birthdays, you guys. Rancid guitarist Tim Armstrong, 48 years old. Christina Applegate, 43. Actress Katie Cassidy from Arrow, 28. And Jerry Ferrara, 35. I'm Allie McKay. In for Ralph Garman, Showbiz Beat.
Funny man Jimmy Pardo joins us in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, the Afro line is on the air at 323-520-AFRO. This is the phone number that people call when it's late at night, when they've got no friends, when they're drunk, when they're lonely, when they get the best idea they've ever had in their life. They call and share it with us, and we appreciate that.
When they want to taunt.
Quack, 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 quack. Suck it, Kevin.
Take it. That's a Ducks fan.
That's, because we're having Ryan Getzloff on. Dave, the King of Mexico, is getting quite the response for hating Thanksgiving. And I think rightfully so.
Dave sucks. Dave sucks. Dave sucks. 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 Dave sucks. Dave sucks. Hey, Dave, you suck.
It was a little bit of a surprise because there is a small subset of things that nobody hates.
It's
like
Thanksgiving
puppies.
Food, not Thanksgiving. Get it right.
Like puppies, for instance. Thanksgiving food. Another one. Thank you for the clarification, Dave. Thanksgiving food is a thing that nobody doesn't like.
Yeah, because you can find something you like to eat. It's absurd.
Yeah, there's absolutely tons of different delicious things.
You know what it is? It's meat, vegetables, and potatoes, like every other night. How can you not like that? That's what people eat.
And
that's
pie.
That's how the world works. And pie.
I think this caller probably says it best.
At what point did the King of Mexico become the King of Al-Qaeda? What Thanksgiving turkey touched him inappropriately when he was a kid? Holy moly.
That's a great question. While the rest of us are enjoying a beautiful Thanksgiving with our family, Dave's going to be in an ISIS meeting.
We did a topic that I was not happy with, I know, and I wanted it to end as soon as possible. We put it on the podcast, and this guy just caught up with it.
All right, so catching up on some old podcasts, 6:50 in the morning, trying to eat some goddamn breakfast. And you guys are talking about insects living inside of people. Go f*** yourself!
Yeah, that struck a lot of people, didn't it, that one?
Here's a song for Lisa.
You got a fat ass, Lisa. Yeah, yeah. Quit teasing me, Lisa. Yeah, yeah. Why do you keep shaking that ass in front of my window, Lisa? Yeah, yeah. When you gonna make a 3D video twerking, Lisa? Yeah, yeah. Why ain't got nothing else to do with my life, Lisa? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, sad.
That's a sad little call.
It is.
We were talking last hour about the Brooke Shields incident. It's becoming known. And that's what this call's about. Oh, I'm sorry. This is actually the clip.
Tommy Shields on Twitter, at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I
listened
to one of
the Square's 2-week Black Friday sale going on now.
Yeah, so that's what this call's about.
Brooke Shields! Sorry, we're out of time.
Another one?
Right.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, this is John from Cerritos Auto Square. I didn't realize we had paid for the celebrity guest spot in our commercial. You could just let us know what we owe on the Miss Brooke Shields spot. That'd be great. Thanks.
Kevin's in a hurry.
And finally, we're getting a lot of calls about this.
Let them double D's free. Come on and show them to me. Cause you know I got to see your juicy double D's.
Thank you, Adam Sandler, for the call.
Let me say a word about the Miss Double D page at KevinandBean.com or KRO.com because we just unveiled it about 24 hours ago, the top 10 finalists to be Miss Double December 2015. We just put that up yesterday. Thousands of votes already.
Yep.
Is this a these ladies are incredibly well organized to get so many votes already. So it is going to be a tough competition, whether it's Adriana or Ashley or Jen or Leah, Marcela, Michelle, Ms. Padilla, Raina, Tamara, T, whoever your favorite is. Go to kirok.com or kevinbean.com and be sure to vote for your favorite because your vote does have an impact. You can only vote once per day, but you can see all the pictures and all the bio information and everything at kirok.com. And then 1 week from Friday, don't forget to join us in person. We'll be at the Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton at the Slide Bar. Got a live webcast planned for that day. Toys for Tatas. The U.S. Marine Corps are going to be on site. We just ask that you bring a new unwrapped toy that day as your price of admission. Come for the Double D, stay for the party. All the information about the live broadcast and the competition is up at krock.com.
But the actual pageant is a week from Friday.
That's right.
All right, man. It's like Black Friday. We're here. We're in front of the Slide Bar in Fullerton. Miss Double D, we're waiting for you. We're excited. We're waiting in line. We're all fans.
Now, as they go along, I'd like you to listen to the girl in the back. I swear she's singing the Ebola song.
We can't wait to see you next Friday. We'll be there. We miss you.
She totally is.
That's awesome. And by the way, that guy's waiting for next Friday. Again, it's 2 weeks from today.
Boobies, 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 boobies. I want to see some boobies.
Well done.
Very impressed.
Yeah.
Very impressed. December 5th, sir.
Sorry, I didn't want... December 5th. Here's a guy rapping about Miss Double D.
Now the time has come around. The time is here again. Wanna be Miss Double D? Here's how you're gonna win. Holding A's, B's, or C's will get you in the game. It's those juicy Double D's that will bring you all the fame. Gotta show us what you got. And really aim to please. Gotta strut out and bust out those delicious Double D's. And bring your suit down in talent. The best we've ever seen. And then you'll win the crown for Kevin and Beans. Miss Double D. 2015. And fire beer mug.
Hello, Lisa.
He just worked it all in there,
wow.
Didn't he?
Get some headphones for our guest here. There he is.
There you go.
Hello.
Jimmy Pardo!
Hi, Jimmy Pardo.
Hello. Jimmy, you're not funny.
Hey. Hi, guys. I'm sending Bean a text.
Well,
all right,
that's exciting.
That might be a great way for us to start this conversation. Are we friends or are we not friends?
Well,
Jimmy Pardo?
Why would you say that? Well, hang on, I got to turn me up. I got to hear these beautiful tones. there's Daddy. Now listen,
never say that again.
why would you say we're not friends? That's the part that's hurtful to me.
Wait, let's back up. The last time you were here,
yeah,
Bean decided, I believe,
mm-hmm.
that you and he were going to be best friends.
Okay,
now, and I think we bonded over. I don't know, a love of like Jerry Rafferty or something. There was something that came up that day that I thought, wow, Jimmy Pardo is my soulmate and we should be best friends.
Well,
and I admit that I haven't maybe done all that I can to facilitate that.
You've done nothing.
Well, see,
you've done that. You live. You don't live near me.
It doesn't matter. If he lived next door to you, you would never see him.
Is that true?
Yes.
Well, then how the hell is this my fault? Why am I being chastised in promos?
That's why I'm bringing up the fact that Bean called you out and said you were going to be his best friend. Bean has no friends.
I do the best I can via electronic mail, via the Twitter.
You're very kind. We do tweet at one another, and I do appreciate that so much. I feel like I'm giving more to this relationship than you are.
What
Jimmy.
Are you I've, giving?
What are you giving more than a tweet once a week? And what am I not giving back?
First of all, I'm a paid subscriber to the Never Not Funny podcast.
Thank you very much.
So I'm literally and have been for years putting money in your pocket. Literally. Okay.
Okay. Well, there are. You
it
know,
doesn't
what?
Mean you're a best friend. There's a friend. Tell us
so
how
far,
you're
we're
his
just fan,
friend.
Fan, and entertainer at this point. That's exactly right. Now, listen, if we want to use the scales, so you listen to my show.
Uh-huh.
Okay, one for you. Go ahead. Next thing.
Now, is there any possibility that occasionally by accident you listen to our show?
No, no. I just said, I just gave you your answer. No, you listen to me. You're
all
winning
right, so you
1-0.
when you're a guest on Conan the other night, who sets up the DVR to make sure to not miss his good friend Jimmy Pardo as a guest on Conan the other night?
Well, my buddy Paul. Who else?
I feel like that's me investing in our relationship a little more.
I listened to Tears for Fears when they were on. How's
good.
That?
See?
Okay, all right.
Bean, let me ask you a question. How is Jimmy supposed to know you set your DVR?
I just feel like that's something that would have come up had we talked.
You
know,
but
had
you
we
don't.
Had we had a meal together once in a while,
right? Which
we,
how
don't.
You're going to do that
again?
I
this
don't
is
know.
On you. And by the way, if you would have said, "Hey, I DVR'd it, great job," I would have I would have written back. But a good friend extends the comp. I don't know what the words I'm looking for are. It's early.
All right. So you did text me, or you did not text me just now?
I just texted you. But again, I put those the dashes.
Oh, here it is.
Phone.
Yeah. No, I got it. It's hello. Okay, that's a good first step.
That's a
Jim
good
Pardo.
Start.
That's
you guys
a good
really
first
tight
step.
Now,
can I tell you? It would have been more than hello had we not been going right to air.
Yes.
I went into a panic. Those
all
dashes
right.
killed me.
Well,
look,
that is difficult.
I called it the Spanish line, but what is that thing called?
Like a tilde?
Like the half of an affinity?
The thing like that?
What is it called?
A tilde?
A Tilda Swinton?
I don't know.
why would you do that? Why are you adding characters to a phone number? I don't even understand what you're saying.
So you're telling me I could have put all 10 numbers right in a row without those dashes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the phone does the work for you, Jimmy, on that. You don't have to do that. All right.
Now, listen.
Hold on, Bean. Hold on.
You brought up a VCR. Now, mine, mine has one of those remotes that it's, luckily, my friend Jack, you say it's tethered. The remote is tethered to the unit, so I don't lose it. you guys have the infrared? I'm an old man. Go ahead.
I didn't know they made those. That's awesome. Look, I'm satisfied to move on because this, I think, is a very, very promising development. The fact that Jimmy Pardo texted me, I feel like it does show some initiative on his part, and I feel like we're heading in the right direction. I'm not trying to rush in. I'm not trying to marry you, Jimmy. I'm not trying to rush into anything here, but this is a good first step.
All right, but let me ask a question now.
Okay.
Did you respond to his text?
No, I'm not going to write him back. He's an asshole.
Come on, that's good fun. That's comedy right there.
All right, let's change topics. By the way, Jimmy Pardo was here. Let me get the plug out of the way, and we'll talk about it some more later. The 6th annual Never Not Funny Podcastathon is happening this Friday. Jimmy is the hardest working man in America because on Thanksgiving Friday, while the rest of us are sitting at home just being full, he's going to be out there raising money for a great, great charity called Smile Train. That's the charity that helps the kids who have the cleft palates. Simple operation, only cost a couple hundred bucks, changes their whole life. Am I right, Jimmy?
That's exactly right. It takes 45 minutes, only costs $250. Last year, we raised $144,000.
Wow.
My dumb little podcast raised that much money.
That's awesome.
And we've raised $500,000 to date.
It's amazing. And the Podcastathon is the greatest idea because it is a 12-hour podcast that Jimmy Pardo will do on Friday with a different guest every half hour. And you got some great guests this year, Jimmy.
We do. You know, it's at give credit where credit is due. It is me and my co-host Matt Belknap and Pat Francis. We're there the full 12. Last year, 13 hours.
Okay.
And this year, so far, we have Kevin Nealon, Weird Al, Sarah Silverman, Zach Galifianakis.
You just run over those like they're not A-list. A-list
it's
comedians.
It's pretty weird, right?
Just throwing them out.
And admittedly, those are four, you know, no, those are real friends. Those are friends.
Those are people who have some type of relationship
that's
with.
That's an example of friends. Exactly.
Okay.
So, yes, I do run right over them, but in reality, yeah, those are four A-list stars.
Right,
you know
that's
what I mean?
I'm saying.
It's a huge day.
So, we have you know, Scott Aukerman from Comedy Bang Bang. We have Jason Thompson from General Hospital.
Paul F. Tompkins.
Paul F. Tompkins, thank you. Greg Behrendt. Dave Holmes.
Patton Oswalt. This is crazy.
Yeah, we really have and the neat part about this is everybody, and you guys know this from doing charity events, all these people, and we have 30-plus guests, all doing it out of the kindness of their heart. Nobody's getting any money.
On a holiday weekend, too, by the way.
On a holiday weekend, there's no car service. We don't pick them up. They literally drive themselves there. They find parking. They come in. They spend 10 to 15 minutes with us, and they move on. And they donate things to be auctioned off. We're really, really lucky that I had this great, you know, group of friends.
That's a crazy good list.
Now I want to clarify because can people come down and see this, or is it strictly an online thing they can pay to watch it?
You know what, we do it. We do it live at the Acme Theater here in Los Angeles, and 100 people buy tickets. By the way, $10 to sit for 13 hours and see that kind of talent come through.
That's a lot of talent.
Bathroom breaks alive?
Sitting for 10 hours.
You know what? Suck it up. It's for charity, you pussy. It is free online. It streams online for free at nevernotfunny.com, so you can watch it at home for free.
Well, that's where you should be making a lot more money, is you ought to be charging a buck an hour or something.
I'm not looking
like that
to make it. I'm trying to raise money.
He's raising
that's
a lot of money already.
So people donate.
Could raise even more, though, if you would make people – if people have to pay to watch.
Here's what we do. Bean and a friend would know this. we release it in a month. We release it as a package where then that money, the proceeds go to Smile Train. So, in effect, if you can't watch it live, you could buy it later. And then that money, again, the proceeds. I stress proceeds because I pocket about 98% of all this money.
Well, that's fair. You're the one who's doing the hard work.
Thank you.
Right.
Now, let me ask you a question quickly. Weird Al, Sarah Silverman, Patton Oswalt, Kevin Nealon, Doug Benson, Scott Aukerman, Paul F. Tompkins. Do any of them text you?
Do they text me? Let me see.
Any of them.
Let me take a look right now. Let me take a look and see if I have any of them on a text right now.
All right.
That would be very impressive.
Why won't my phone go to the right angle? All right. Jason Thompson is texting me.
All right, from TV's General Hospital.
From TV's General Hospital. Chris Hardwick.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay.
Would you consider him a friend?
Billy Eichner.
Fantastic.
Has texted me.
Yes.
That's impressive.
Ellis Paul.
Let me just pause you right there, Kevin. Chris Hardwick and I are actually friends, by the way. we like have lunch when he comes to Seattle. So I said every once in a while I'll get off the island and go out and meet a person.
Well, how about this then? The next time I'm in Seattle.
Nope. No, he will not. Here's what's going to happen, and then we need to take a break.
Yeah.
He's going to tell you he'll meet you.
And then
you'll get up there. No bean.
Sleepless in
you'll
Seattle.
You'll call nothing.
Friendless. How dare you. Yeah. All right. Go to nevernotfunny.com for all the information about the Podcastathon, which is happening this Friday to benefit Smile Train. It's an awesome, awesome event. You can follow Jimmy on Twitter at Jimmy Pardo. We'll be right back right after this on K-Rock. Jimmy Pardo in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The 6th annual Never Not Funny Podcastathon 2014 happens this Friday. Nevernotfunny.com for all the details. Definitely something you want to check out. You know, we've been doing this show a long time, Mr. Pardo.
Yep.
Too long, many of our listeners suggest.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had thousands of guests over the years. But you are the first one ever who, can you finish that sentence?
Ran to the studio from his home?
Correct.
Yeah. Ran to the studio from his home.
Is that true?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Wow.
How is it possible that you ran here today?
And why?
And why?
It's twofold. First of all, I run every day. At least I try to.
Yeah, me too. Whatever. Go ahead.
And they put up the posts, the notices in my neighborhood yesterday that they're going to be doing some street work, so no parking. So I kind of planned, like, well, I'm just going to leave my car in the driveway for the day, and so I'll get my run in the morning. And then when I woke up, I was like, well, that's not happening. I'm driving. And then I looked out, and it was already blocked off. So I kind of, like, had no choice, which I kind of liked. It kind of forced me to make the run here. So I ran.
How far did you have to run this morning to get here?
This will surprise you. 14 miles. Now, hear me out. I started.
That's a lie.
No, a mile and a half. Just, you know, so it'll be a total of a 5K.
With a nice little break here in the middle of the run to do this interview.
Just enough of a break to make me not want to run back.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's always the issue. Getting there is fine, but you call Uber when
that's what I was talking to Dave. That's what Dave said. He's like, you're going to call Uber to go home? Yeah.
Now, are you, and this is an honest question, as a well-known person, as a person who's on TV a lot, is it a problem for you to be running out in the street in terms of people recognizing you?
No. I appreciate you saying that, but first of all, I live down in this area.
He was laughing when he said no.
Although, you know, if I was running, it's fascinating. My wife calls, the scene in Soap Dish where Sally Field feels bad about herself, so she wants to go to the mall so that people, you know, recognize her.
Yes.
So whatever the name of that mall is, my wife now says Hollywood and Vine is that for me, because we were walking around there and everybody's like, Jimmy Pardo, hey, there's Jimmy Pardo, hey, I'm a big fan. I'm like, and my wife's like, well, we got to come down here more often. This is a good ego boost for you. So I can't run down there, apparently.
That's weird that there's just a little pocket.
That little weird little, like right near Amoeba and, you know, the arc light over there. And
sure.
It was literally like I was making an appearance and
you're in one direction all of a sudden.
Right. But just for that one block little stretch. It was funny.
You go outside that block, nobody.
Yeah, no. It's like
how far do you usually run on a regular day?
You know, on a regular boy, that's a great question. You know, because I run along that Bologna Creek.
Same.
Wait, you do that as well?
No.
Oh. All right. Same.
I'm trying to make myself feel better.
I don't know. Is that a 14-year-old girl just came to your body? Same. I don't know. You know what? I tried a minimum 3 miles.
Every day.
But I pulled
That's very
my,
impressive. Man of your age. I mean, still getting around so well. I'm very impressed.
I just ran a half marathon Halloween time. And a mud run. I did a mud run on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then I did a half marathon on Sunday. All right, 3 weeks ago.
That's showing off.
It was stupid.
Yeah.
I hurt myself. It wasn't good. It wasn't
good. When you start going down that path where you start to challenge yourself more and more, at what point do you start think real marathon and at what point do you start think Iron Man?
I don't think, first of all, I don't like Robert Downey Jr. Second of all, and that's not a true statement. I said that for humor, and humor's a strong word. I think marathon is, that's life-changing. You kind of have to
But
change.
You did half.
Yeah, but you know what? Half is you still, you could train 8 miles only takes an hour and a half, you know?
For you to
train.
Right.
But for a full marathon, if you're running 20 miles, that's a long chunk of your day to train. Yeah. So I don't have that kind of time, nor do I have the interest, quite frankly.
That's interesting to me, because I think you could run a marathon if you wanted to. You sound like the type of person who has the dedication and has the athletic ability to do it. I think that people that start heading close to that, I think it is just looming out there as something they've got to check off their list in a lot of cases.
You know what I did? I'll admit this. After I did the first half marathon, I had that jazz for like a week, like, next step marathon. And then it was like, I'm good. You know what? Pretty good. It's almost like, you know, I have two tattoos, one on each arm, and I kind of felt the same way after the second one. I'm going to be a tattoo guy. I'm going to get tattoos now, because you get that, you know, that adrenaline, you feel kind of cool, and then like a week later, it's like, why did I get these damn things? So it's I feel the same way.
Jimmy Pardo with us here on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. Again, nevernotfunny.com for details on Friday's podcast-a-thon. I wanted to ask you about something else, and this springs from your story on Conan the other night.
Okay.
You talked about, it sounds like the worst comedy gig you ever had, and I want to know if you were exaggerating or if literally people chased you to your car after that gig.
They literally chased me to my car.
How does that happen that you can piss off an audience that much, Jimmy?
Well, as they bleeped, and I don't know how much I can get away with on this show, so I won't say...
I think it'd be about the same.
Expletive?
Basically, what I said was at the end of it, if you see a blank, suck it. Is what I said to the audience.
But you said that in defiance because they had already turned on you.
They had turned on me,
What I don't understand is that wasn't clear in the story is how do you go from I'm entertaining this crowd and it's going well to all of a sudden a switch is flipped and now they hate me?
That gig was in like 1990. It's like a 24-year-old story. And to this day, I don't understand what happened because I was killing for like 6 minutes. And then
had to be a line or a joke that you can't remember.
Admittedly, of course there had to be.
Huh.
But I don't remember what it was. But I do remember that, again, the headliner, and I had to cut a lot of that story out because of time on television. And I'll do my best to keep it brief here. The headliner the week before I was there did 14 minutes. You're supposed to do 45. And when I got there, the entertainment director goes, "We're so glad you're back, because last week we had a situation, the headliner bailed after 14 minutes. And, of course, my ego, 14, of course, daddy's getting a second standing O at 14.
Stop calling yourself daddy.
I do it ironically. So
something else you mean I have in common, by the way.
Yeah, and I hate it when you say that, too. It's so creepy.
So I'm on stage, and I'm killing. For like 6 minutes, and then it was like a light switch went off where they turned on me. And yes, of course, a lie. I don't know what it was, but then I'm sweating, and I went through like 30 minutes of material in like four.
Wait, let me just ask you a question about yourself.
Yeah.
Do you challenge, like, this is a challenge, I'm going to win them back?
No, well, of course, you try to win them back, you try to get them, and really all I want to do is more time than 14 minutes.
Okay.
I don't want to be the story that this person says, hey, last week, Pardo bailed after 12. You know what I mean? So I want to do 14 minutes in 1 second, and I get there.
Right.
And I look over the side of the stage, and I see the entertainment director. Her name was Cindy. That part I remember.
Okay.
And I said, I think I'm going to pull the shoot on this, Cindy. And she has the look of fear. I go, trust me, it's for the best. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you guys one more thing and then go. And some guy yells out, this is the greatest. Some guy yells out, don't even tell us that, just go.
Oh my God.
And then another guy stands up and he goes, leave him alone. I think he's funny. Realizes nobody's on his side. He goes, not that damn funny. Sit back down.
I'm not going to vouch for him anymore.
I do my last bit to complete silence. And they're booing me. Get off the stage. Boo. Boo. My last bit, silence. And I said, that's it for me. If you're blah, blah, blah. Suck it.
Right.
And then I walk off, and the entertainment director has my check in one hand and my coat in the other, and she goes, get out of here. They will kill you.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay. And
Are you positive they weren't just trying to suck it?
Oh, boy, that never crossed my mind.
I mean, maybe that was worth it.
They saw it as an offer.
Yes.
They saw it as an invitation.
You could have had an entire night of pleasure.
Oh, I blowed it.
Is it too late to go back to that club?
I don't want to go anywhere near that area. It was on a naval base, so it wasn't even a club. So they could have killed me, and nobody would have ever found my body or vehicle.
Yeah,
that is amazing.
They did. They chased me to my car like the villagers in Frankenstein. And I was scared out of my mind, and I got in, and then I took off, and, you know, obviously, now we're here talking.
How long has it been since you've had a show go badly, Jimmy Pardo?
That badly?
I don't think any of them have gone that badly. But, I mean, just a show where it hasn't worked out for you.
It's like, been a long,
don't know why.
It's been a long time. Right? Jokers in Dayton, Ohio. I do remember... I don't remember the year. I remember I wasn't drinking anymore, so it had to be like 2002, 2003. That it was a second show Friday, and they just hated me and they beat me up, and And I just went. I remember I was sitting in the parking lot of the movie theater in my rental car and just kind of thinking, like, why am I doing this? Why do I put myself through
this?
Was
that a message from the universe that I need to do something
exactly.
else?
Exactly. And then, of course, then the next night I went on stage and, you know, and it was fine. But for that, I don't know, 12 hours, it was kind of like, why do I put
You got to have a pretty thick skin to do what you do for a living.
I guess. I don't know.
I would think.
You do for, I would think at the beginning of your career for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Like that seems
I mean,
like
I bombed more than I did well, as we all do it. And you have to. Any comic that's killing right out of the box on a consistent basis isn't a good comedian, you know, or at least doesn't have an original voice, in my opinion.
Yeah. Right, right.
But yeah, I took my lumps, and then I went through my angry Bill Hicks, Dennis Leary phase in the mid-90s, where everything was, I got two words for you, blah, blah. That, you know, with, you know, just no humor, just, it's called pride! Like, just yelling and ranting with no jokes. Just some it was a horrible homeless piece about, you know, hey, take that money and go shave off your ZZ Top beard. It's called pride. A-hole.
All right. I'm sad that we're just about out of time.
Yeah.
The 6th Annual Never Not Funny Podcast-a-thon is happening this Friday. You can watch it live, and you can donate at nevernotfunny.com. By the way, who's the holy grail of guests that you've been trying to get on the podcast that you haven't yet? Because you have had virtually everyone I can think of.
You know, there's kind of like a trifecta. Dick Van Dyke, Mel Brooks, and Albert Brooks. Mm. And Albert Brooks is kind of the one that we all want.
Yeah.
And he won't do any. Mel has done a few, and Dick Van Dyke did Marin. And
you say that with a little chip on your shoulder.
Well, he and the Serial invented podcasting. So those are the three that we would want.
And now Bill Cosby, right?
Well, listen, we got to get to the bottom of that, and I'm the right journalist to do it.
I think so. I think you're the man. Well, I can't wait for Friday, Jimmy. It looks like a great, great lineup this
Thank
year.
Thank you.
Bean's not going to watch, but it looks like it
will.
If he watched, I think he would like
I'll
it.
I'll tell you what, none of my friends are watching.
Great to see you again, sir. Run home.
My honor. Thank you for having me.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
So if I'm reading these hockey standings right, Kevin, the Ducks have 31 points, 22 and 13. The Kings, 21 and 11 with 26 points. That seems like less.
Yeah, sure.
Seems like maybe the Ducks might be in first place.
Oh, they are. Yeah. Kings are in fourth.
Okay.
Fine with that.
Ryan,
all good.
Ryan Getzlaff joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, number 15 for the Anaheim Ducks, right after the top of the hour. And next hour, we've got your tickets for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost to Christmas as well. First, though, Allie in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Good morning, guys. Let's talk first about some Bill Cosby news that isn't about rape allegations, sexual assault allegations, but I don't know. Can we label them creepy allegations?
Creepy and weird. Yeah.
And weird. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Apparently, according to his writer, which if you guys don't know, that's basically when you are going to do a show, you say, I want only green M&Ms or I want my room at this temperature.
Oh, that's where like Beyonce wants the room
exactly.
all white or whatever.
Exactly.
All that stuff. Yeah.
Which I put in for my writer and
here?
I don't know what's
here?
Happening.
Yeah, there's no
system. Nothing. Nothing here. But Bill Cosby's writer, when he went to do The Late Show with David Letterman, is he wanted all the female staffers, the young ones, interns and assistants, to be in the room as he eated.
You said eat.
I did. Oh.
That happened.
Hi, everyone.
Need a moment with.
That's a pretty good one. As he ate curry.
Now, let's not lose
sight. I have a boner!
Well, he might have had something because he wanted them to sit there in silence and watch him eat curry.
So
what?
He you specified know, the younger ones.
Yes.
And,
only females.
If I were, I have to tell you, just if I were running that show,
yeah,
that would feel highly inappropriate to
Wouldn't
me
it, though?
To subject that specific group of women
That's weird.
To that. Yep. And I think I would say no.
However,
and that
however,
would have been the right thing to do
however,
when it's Bill
if,
Cosby.
Oh, well.
If somebody
yeah.
says that, mm-hmm. Lisa, I'm going to pull you aside if I'm Letterman and I'm going to go, this might be unbelievable. You have to do it because there's supposedly nothing going on except for him eating.
Yes. In silence.
That's like one of those weird
it's
things.
It's so bizarre. It's such
no,
a
no.
weird power trip and so creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just stop there.
Yeah,
one of those weird things.
Yeah.
Should I say?
Lisa just looked at me and gave me the look, and I was like, "I'm all right."
Never
I'm
mind.
Done.
I've done.
Back
it's,
to you.
It's probably best.
That's weird.
Yeah. Let's talk about some good news. November, all about the fall mid-season finales, and of course, with that, cancellations and pickups. ABC has ordered the back nine episodes for Cristela, and a full season pickup this year for ABC's Black-ish.
So basically, ABC wants you to keep working, which is nice, ABC.
That is nice.
That's delightful. Good stuff. Cristela and Black-ish. System of a Down. Yes. We know him. We love him.
Mm-hmm.
Armenian as well.
Right.
Wait, hold on.
I know.
Why did they never bring that up?
Never. But you know what?
Wait, you're saying System of a Down. The guys in...
They are all Armenian.
What?
I know. Not a lot of people know that. But that is not actually the news.
Oh.
I've got more. They released a tour video yesterday saying their 2015 Wake Up the Souls tour will bring them to Armenia for the first time ever. Can you believe they've never performed there?
That is surprising.
I'm very surprised by that.
Well, even more surprising is the date that they will be performing. April 23rd, that's marking the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide.
Party.
All right.
Wow. Look, I understand.
Move on from that.
I guess, you understand why they do it, but yeah. It's also a bit of a downer.
This might System be an outstanding time, Kevin, revisit our friends in System of a Down, the last time they played Acoustic Christmas. Because they're playing night number one this year of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. They're on the bill. Remember last time, Kevin? Remember the heartwarming Santa-inspired chant that they got going with the crowd?
It was maybe my favorite thing of all time.
All right, that happened, and then this happened.
F*** you.
This is the Christmas holiday show.
Season's greeting.
I remember System of a Down.
Wow.
I remember watching this.
Wow.
I remember watching that and going, this is the best thing I've ever seen. This is a Christmas show, all ages, and I still remember sitting there watching that going, this is awesome.
Happy birthday, baby Jesus. That's a lot. All right.
I love that.
Well, and finally, Pamela Anderson, household name.
Yep.
Playboy, Baywatch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a turn. She has had a pseudo-spiritual awakening after the death of her dog, Joe. She plans on making politics the real focus of her life now.
What level of politics?
Doesn't specify, but...
President?
I hope. You can only hope. Mm-hmm. But
I believe she's Canadian, Kevin, so probably...
Shoot, good point.
Okay, Prime Minister?
Very nice Prime Minister, because Canadians are nice. But I assume, as this person does as well, something that has to do with animals. She's a big champion for animal rights and whatnot.
Sure.
So
sure, I remember that.
That's delightful. I have a lot of epiphanies when pets die.
You do?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like, don't get another pet. And then I do. And then, it's what we call a cycle.
Yeah.
All right, guys, some birthdays. Rancid guitarist Tim Armstrong, 48. Joel Kinnaman, RoboCop, The Killing, 35. Christina Applegate is 43. And Katie Cassidy of Arrow, 28. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, Showbiz Beat.
Ryan Getzlaf, Anaheim Ducks.
Getzlaf. They cross, he has room. Gets back with a shot, he scores! How's that for leadership? Ryan Getzlaf has tied it.
Make no mistake, Getzlaf is a wonderful offensive and all-around player, but he can also fight.
That's right.
And he took a pretty good left hand right there.
Getzlaf takes it right in the mouth.
Penner gets it back in front, there's Getzlaf, there's the hat trick!
Great play by Getzlaf, bats the pass out of midair, and he scores again! Oh, my! He's putting on a clinic!
He's only got a couple of gold medals as an Olympian playing hockey for Canada. He also was a member of the 2007 Stanley Cup Championship team, the captain of the Anaheim Ducks, ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Getzlaf, back on the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. Hey, Ryan, good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Very good, thank you.
We're doing great. How are you? How are you feeling? How's everybody feeling?
We're coming around. We went through a little sickness there, I think, with a few guys, but everything's kind of working its way through now.
That was the strangest thing for those of us, you know, just as fans, to start seeing the word mumps popping up. Like, that's a word I hadn't heard since I was a little kid. That must have been such a shock for you to find out that some of your teammates had it.
It was. It was the weirdest thing for us, too. I mean, going through it, nobody kind of had any idea what was going on for the first 2 weeks. And luckily enough, it only affected a couple guys, and we should be most of the way through it now, I think.
You could catch that really easily, right?
Yeah, and, you know, when you're talking about a locker room, it's tough. We share so much stuff. We're around each other so much that it's hard to really keep anything from each other.
So were they able to practice when they had this? And did you make them use another locker room?
No, we just – they were away from the rink. I don't think Paris was at the rink for about 9 days, and Bosch was away from the rink for 7 or 8, so – we kind of contain them at home or wherever they want it to be.
That is insane.
It's weird. Yeah, it's a really weird thing, trust me.
Did the rest of you, like, as soon as you felt like a little bit of a headache or something, start worrying, you get a little scratch, a little bug bite?
Well, the thing is it was all swelling in your neck to start. So anytime your jaw was a little bit sore, people started to panic a little bit.
Well, fortunately, as hockey players, you never get hurt, so you don't have to worry about tracking down any of those aches and pains.
Yeah, that's very true.
All right, let's talk about a couple of other things. I didn't know, I guess I hadn't been paying attention to the streak that Andrew has going, but Andrew Cogliano has now played for 562 games in a row. As a contemporary of his, do you just look at that and marvel that a streak like that is even possible in modern hockey?
You know what? It's crazy. I mean, to play the game we play and not ever have an injury that keeps you out or even an illness for that matter, you know, it's incredible. It shows, you know, his dedication and how hard he works off the ice to make sure his body's ready all the time.
But that's a weird thing. Like, all of you guys work that hard.
And all of you play hurt, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the way it goes. It's kind of, you know, it's one of those things that he's been able to kind of work through it and not ever have to miss. So it's been pretty good.
You guys played, I think it was Calgary about a week ago. You're playing them again tonight, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, a week ago, they come back and they score 3 goals and send it to overtime. Tonight's game can be completely different with the exact same lineups for the most part. How does that happen? I've always been fascinated by how you can play one night and it can be a shellacking, and the next night it could be a you could just destroy a team the next night. I don't understand that.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like if you go to work and have a bad day at work. You're not always on your game, and that's why we're human. I mean, if it was that easy where you just showed up and everything went smooth, you wouldn't play the game. So any team in sports can win on any given night. I know it's a bit of a cliche, but when you show up to play and another team doesn't, you have a risk of losing.
Do you like being in first place this early in the season?
Yeah, it's good. You know what? And the benefit to us, I think, this year that we have gone through some aches and pains and not necessarily played great hockey all the time. And you need to go through those bumps throughout the season just to kind of learn where your group is and learn how to respond. And we've been fortunate enough to get a lot of overtime games and stuff and still collect points while we're learning.
How much time do you have? And this is the voice of Ryan Getzlaff from the Anaheim Ducks, center and captain of the Ducks, on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on Kerik. How much time do you have during the season to even pay attention to what the other teams in your division are doing?
And we don't pay that much attention, especially early in the season. I mean, obviously, when they're in our division, we're playing them all the time. We're going to know their records and those kind of things. But you don't watch too much. If you sit and watch scoreboards, we've got a long season ahead of us here, and there's no real point in doing it at this point.
Right. Of course, the Ducks brought the first Stanley Cup to Southern California. What has it been like for you guys these last few years, seeing how successful the Kings have been? Is that something you pay particular attention to just because they're right up the road, or is it just like if a team in Boston had won?
It's not much different for us other than the fact that it's great for Southern California hockey in general. I think that you've seen the fan support, that everything grow over the years, and winning does that. So we've seen the effects of that for sure.
The Anaheim Ducks have a toy drive that's going on, by the way, benefiting the Spark of Love with the Anaheim Fire Department for the home games December 1st, December 3rd, and December 10th. Bring a new unwrapped toy, and they're going to collect those for the holidays. I think that's a pretty cool thing that your organization is doing.
Yeah, we've tried to do it most years, and I think it's been very successful. It helps everybody kind of contribute as well as the team and get involved. And I think our wives and girlfriends and stuff do a lot when they show up, you know, before games to help collect toys and deliver them to less fortunate people.
In our remaining moments with Ryan, here's another question I don't think I've ever asked you before, Ryan, and that is, the Ducks seem to have fans all over the world. I see the posts that go up on the website from time to time, and I just wonder, how much do you hear from fans outside of America?
A fair bit. I mean, I get a lot of mail and stuff from people around the world, and you know, the sport's been growing so much over the years that when you have those times in Europe where you're playing in world championships, all those things, your fan base tends to grow, and it's good for the game.
And I bet that because there are so many Finnish players and Russian players and Swedish players and whatnot, their fans back home follow whatever team they go to in the NHL. And I imagine there's a lot of cross-pollinization that way as well.
For sure. I mean, when you just Finland alone, when we looked at the games that we went over there, and then the amount of people that come over here to watch games with Timo and Saku, and now Sammy, it's really big. I mean, the support that we had when we went over to Finland a couple years back there was incredible.
Last question from me, because we're almost out of time, but tell me about Kessler and his addition to your team.
He's been great. I mean, Kess is, he stepped into a somewhat difficult situation given the past, and we've welcomed him with open arms, and he's played excellent for us. He's playing a lot of minutes and a lot of different roles for us, and his job on our penalty kill and power play have been incredible.
The Ducks are back home in Southern California facing the Calgary Flames. That game is going to be tonight. You can check ducks.nhl.com for the rest of the schedule and all sorts of good stuff. And follow them on Twitter at Anaheim Ducks. And, of course, RyanGetzlaff.com as well. We probably won't talk to you again before the holidays. Hope they're happy ones for you, Ryan. We always appreciate you taking out some time to be on the Kevin and Bean Show, man.
Thank you, too, guys.
You bet. Thank you, Ryan. All right.
You handled that very well, Kevin.
I did my best.
I know you felt like you were sleeping with the enemy there for a minute, but I was very, very impressed that you were able to hold yourself in check.
I had a lot of questions that I wanted to ask, and I thought, no, that's just dickish. It usually doesn't stop me, but all right.
I'm very impressed. All right, here's what we're going to do right now. 1-800-520-1067. We want you to join us at night number one of the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. It's going to be on December 13th at the Forum. This time around, we are looking for Fallout Boy fans. They are one of the acts on night one. If you're a Fallout Boy fan, we got a chance for you to win your way in. We'll play a game next right after this on K-Rock. It's a great lineup for night number one of the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. We're talking about Incubus and Linkin Park and New Politics, Rise Against, Royal Blood, System of a Down, Walk the Moon, Bush, and a little band called Fallout Boy. We've got a phone bank full of Fallout Boy fans right now. You know what's interesting about this group, Kevin?
What, Bean?
Thank you for asking. They have the greatest, most creative song titles, I think, of any group that's working today. Songs like This Ain't a Scene, It's an Arms Race, it's a great title. My Songs Know What You Did in the Dark. It almost sounds like they're screwing with us. Their titles are so out there. So we thought it might be a fun game to play for Fallout Boy fans, and this is how we'll know you're a fan, is we're going to give you a title, and all you have to do is tell us whether it's a real Fallout Boy song or a fake Fallout Boy song. It's a game that we like to call Real Boy, Fake Boy.
Oh, yeah.
To win tickets to the show, all you have to do is know.
Is it a real boy or fake boy?
Uh-huh. You guessed it, real or fake. That's all it really takes. And you'll be at Acoustic Christmas with your booty going shake, shake, shake.
Oh, yeah.
Real boy. Fake boy.
Yeah.
Real boy. Fake boy. Real boy. Fake boy.
What's happening? Party up in this pitch.
What is happening? All right, so did I explain that right? I'll
sure.
give a song title. All you have to do is say whether it's real or fake. If you're right,
real
you
boy.
Go.
Fake boy.
That's right. If you're correct, you go into the drawing. Someone wins tickets to see Fallout Boy. Who's our first contestant?
First is Jeff in Montclair. Hi there.
How you doing, guys?
Hi.
Very good. Hi, Jeff. I assume you're really a Fall Out Boy fan, and that's why you're on the line, right?
Oh, I'm a huge fan.
All right, so you just tell me if this is a real Fall Out Boy title or a fake one. It's not a side effect of the cocaine. I am thinking it must be love.
Wow.
It's not a side effect of the cocaine. I am thinking it must be love.
I'm going to go with fake.
I'm sorry. It's a real Fall Out Boy song title. See? Tough. Thanks for playing.
Real boy. Fake boy.
It's just... It's just spectacular. Chris in West Hollywood. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good, Chris. All right, listen up. Real boy, fake boy. Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Oh, that is real. For sure.
That is real. Well done.
All right, you hold on. Let's go to Peter in Inglewood. Hi, Peter.
Hello.
All right, listen up. Champagne for my real friends, real pain for my sham friends.
Champagne for my real friends.
Real pain for my sham friends. He's Googling and...
Yeah.
Real or fake?
Fake.
I'm sorry, that's a real title.
Real boy. Fake boy.
Even with Googling, he got it wrong. How did that happen, by the way?
He probably wasn't typing fast enough. Danielle in Duarte, hi.
Hello?
Hey, Danielle.
Hello?
Hi there.
You ready to play?
I'm ready.
All right. Real boy, fake boy. When the minutes seem like days, then an hour is a second.
When the minutes seem like days,
then the hour, then an hour is a second.
Real.
I'm sorry. That is a fake Fall Out Boy song title. How many people have gotten this right so far?
Well,
just
one.
Chris?
Just
one in the drawing so far? Wow,
only
this
Chris.
Is tougher than I thought.
But Lisa, you're still going to have to do a drawing, even
I
if
will.
It's just Chris.
That's my job.
Diane in Los Angeles. Hi.
Good morning, Kevin and Lisa May.
Hi,
welcome
there.
To
Real Boy, Fake Boy.
Diane, your other contestants claim to be Fall Out Boy fans, but they don't seem to know their songs. How about you? Can I count on you?
Yes.
All right. All right. Here we go. Our lawyer made us change the name of this song so we wouldn't get sued. Lawyer made us change that. Yes, it is a real song title. Well done. Congratulations.
Nicely done. We actually have a drawing now. Good.
All right. Got time for a couple more real fast.
Joe in Los Angeles. Hi.
Good morning.
Hey, Joe. Listen up.
How's it going?
Let's get to Chicago, and then it's Canada or bust. Let's get to Chicago, and then it's Canada or bust.
That's real.
That is fake. I'm sorry. Not a real song title, but thank you for playing. One more contestant.
All right. This is going to be David in Montclair. Hi.
Hi.
All right, David, listen up. Headfirst slide into Cooperstown on a bad bet. Headfirst slide into Cooperstown on a bad bet.
That's fake.
That is real as well.
Oh,
am I telling
gosh.
You Fall Out Boy has crazy song titles? People, that's the point here.
But the other thing being, I'm guessing, is people that want to go to night one for any of the bands we're calling?
Maybe so.
That's why they
Could
didn't.
Maybe.
And they don't know Fall Out Boy.
Right, exactly.
All right. Chris is in the drawing. Diane is in the drawing. Only one will win his or her way into the show. Who's our winner, please? Lisa May.
Our winner's Diane.
Diane!
Yay! Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thanks for playing Real Boy, Fake Boy.
Real Boy. Fake Boy.
Well, we did our part to bring some new Halloween songs onto the scene last month, and now I feel like we're making some progress on getting some Thanksgiving carols going. Kevin,
are they carols?
I mean, essentially, yeah. I mean, songs about Thanksgiving. You know, like they're Christmas carols. Now it seems like they're Thanksgiving carols. There's one that I don't think we played yet from our girlfriend Rosa G, who is back.
You
know,
she did
the. She's the best. She did the 4th of July song that we love so much. I think she did a. Did she do a Arbor Day or Labor Day?
Memorial Day,
Labor Day,
Memorial Day.
One of them. Well, she got her Thanksgiving song. We're not going to have time for all of it, but I do want you to hear some of it because I love her so.
Rosa G, back in the studio. Today I'm thankful for everything. It's Thanksgiving, y'all. So today I'm going to be giving some thanks.
Thanks.
It's the 4th Thursday of November. Give some thanks. Thanksgiving time, so you know I gotta give some thanks. And it's cold outside, which I like. Give some thanks. I can wear my favorite turkey sweater. Give some thanks. La familia is here. give some thanks. My cousin from Alhambra, my second cousin from Santa Clarita, my third cousin from Pasas Ricas, all here. Give some thanks to celebrate the blessings of the harvest. Give some thanks. Thanks. Thanks and thanks, thanks. Give some thanks. Thanksgiving is the best, so I gotta give some thanks.
So it kind of goes on like that. It has some more verses, but it's very funny. We love
Rosie G. We should definitely post that in the Internet Roundup this week for sure.
Bean, have that standing by. We might need it.
And then I am told that our friend Omar, DJ Omar Khan, has been working with a very special young new artist to drop some Thanksgiving knowledge on us. Oh, anything you want to tell us about this person?
Super talented guy. Whenever he approaches me, I can't say no because, you know Rick Rubin, the super producer?
Sure. Of course,
you know, whenever he approaches anybody, any artist, I'm sure they feel the same way I do. You have to work with this guy.
You say yes immediately because you're lucky.
Absolutely. Yes, right. Yes. Right. So I introduce to you the Sam, the Armenian comedian.
Hey, Sam.
Good morning, guys. How are you? Thanksgiving. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi.
Thanksgiving, indeed. It's quite a greeting.
How are you, Thanksgiving?
So you, Thanksgiving, were in the studio with Omar putting together a new song, Thanksgiving?
Huh?
Yep. Sam, tell us about your new song, Sam.
Oh, yeah. It's I've been dreaming to make this song about Turkey and Turk, you know, mixed up minds, you know. So I made it up for Thanksgiving. So I'm so glad that you approached me and you want me to have the chance to make this song.
Okay, so wait. So you've always wanted to do this, and you're happy that we approached you and pitched you on it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. I'm good. Before we hear it, Sam, what do you mean, Turkey and Turk? What do you mean by that? You mean there's some sort of a mix-up?
I'm stuck in the middle. You know what I mean? My mind is going. My right ear says, Turkey, and the left ear says Turk. So I'm always stuck in the middle.
You've never made less sense.
What is a Turk? I can understand if you were confused by the bird turkey versus the country turkey, but I don't understand what the confusion is between a turkey and a Turk.
Because it rhymes together, that's why.
Oh! Because turkey and Turk rhyme. Okay. All right.
You guys are so dumb.
We are so dumb. That's true. All right. Oh, I feel like we need a... Do we have the big world premiere jingle or anything like that? We should definitely play that. This is going to be the first time it's ever heard. Now, Omar, you were in the studio with Sam when he built this creation?
Unfortunately, yeah, I was. And Sam is... He's so bad. But, you know, he's missing teeth now. He looks all janky. Sam, what's going on with your teeth now?
Why are you missing teeth?
Yeah, I smoke, you know, the joint. I hold on with the same ankle, so it just took off one of my tooth.
Yeah, it's janky. So it was kind of rough. It was kind of rough to watch him sing it. But he was so awful. So I just reporting.
And by awful, you mean amazing?
Amazing. Yes. So I kind of just hit record and made sure the BPM was the same throughout the entire song.
Okay.
And then I kind of, you know, just edited around, you know, kind of made the song sort of make sense.
You did what you could with what you had.
What is the name of the song, Sam?
Oh, the name of the song is What's Up, I'm the Turkey.
What's up? All right, what's up? I'm the Turkey. Now.
Begin sequence. Now, a K-Rock world premiere exclusive. K-Rock.
How did Thanksgiving start? In the days when the battle was over, in the happiness of peace.
Bean, let me know how much you can take.
I'm about out. I'm willing to just give it a little bit more just to see if it turns.
The English captain says to the Indian chief to get him a Turkish lady to his happy ending for the night.
Sam, in your Thanksgiving song, that line is about getting a Turkish woman to give you a happy ending?
Yes.
Okay.
Then the Indian chief sending with the Indian chief.
All right, hold on. Stop right there. Was that your attempt to make a turkey sound, a gobble gobble sound?
Yep.
Okay. How do you feel that went? Okay, good.
And the turkey started saying, buckle, 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 gibble, 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 don't cut my neck off.
All right, Bean, how long would you guess?
I'm out.
But how long? You're great at this game. How long would you guess that song is, the clip that we've played so far?
How much have we heard?
Yes.
4.5 minutes.
53 seconds. 53 seconds. What, Sam?
It never ends.
Of course it ends. There's another 35.
I would rather listen to Beer Mug's Costa Mesa Nissan commercial than hear this again.
Don't cut my neck off. Don't cut my neck off. Let go.
Stop right there. So this is from the perspective of the turkey saying, don't cut my neck, let go of my breasts, let go of my legs. Like he doesn't want to be slaughtered for Thanksgiving?
Right.
That's pretty deep, by the way. For Sam.
Let go my wings and tail. Gobble, 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 gobble. Now stop me.
That's a hit. I got to start playing at the clubs.
Best song ever.
Yeah.
Best song ever. I think you're onto something here, Sam.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Yes.
Yeah, Thanksgiving. Yes.
Hey, I want to open up Acoustic Christmas song before System.
Kevin, you know how we make fun of you for hanging up on people?
Yeah.
You got a free pass right now.
Not a chance in hell. I love Sam so much. He wants to open for System of a Down. I
mean, it makes perfect sense.
Let's say yes.
I think that's too much to have the two greatest Armenian acts of all time on the same bill. That's too much.
Are you kidding? All the audience that...
All right. Thank you for the call. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
She plays Rosita on The Walking Dead Sunday nights, and AMC actress Christian Serratos joins us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour. And, of course, at 9 o'clock, we'll give you another chance to win tickets for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Feast of Christmas like we do. Allie's in for Ralph. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Good morning, guys. Big Bono news.
Okay.
Oh, no. You guys got real excited that it was about Acoustic Christmas.
Well, I mean...
No.
We're hoping that...
Still no word.
Still happens.
Still no word.
Okay.
However, Bono and his band U2 have made quite the prestigious list.
Okay.
Something you don't want to be on. It is GQ Magazine's list of least influential people of 2014. Right, Rodney? Like, who needs that?
Odd.
And how snarky are you, GQ?
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, they're like 100 million to turn U2 socially conscious dad rock into a piece of direct mail, talking about their iPhone infringing, which is what a lot of people thought it was. Give me a break. You got free music. Calm down. However, number two on that least influential people of 2014.
Right.
President of the United States of America. GQ.
I think he has
some influence,
this week you could say he's had some influence.
Good or bad, he has influence no matter what party you are.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's a stupid list.
You're dumb, GQ.
Dumb.
Dummies.
Stupid,
who are
dumb, absurd.
You. Super dumb, absurd. That
there are
my
white
impression.
Folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
GQ. Right. I know. It's so true. It is so true. Any CSI fans? Any of them?
I don't watch any of the CSIs. Okay. No.
Well, George Eads, who plays Nick Stokes, he's the only last remaining original member of that series. Well, he's left the show.
I think that's Miami.
I think it's Miami, but it doesn't matter. It's so funny to me. He left temporarily in 2004 because of contract disputes with CBS, but I guess he's had it.
Hmm.
I don't know. I don't even know what to feel. This, however, makes me feel a lot of things. Mostly, ew. Have you ever wondered about Hugh Hefner? Is he still doing it?
I think with his Viagra, he does.
Yeah, he does talk. He does address that in interviews and says, thanks to Viagra, he is still putting in work.
I tried to not think about him putting in work, though.
The work. In work.
That's what he calls his penis, is the work.
Wow. Kendra Wilkinson. We all know her. Mm-hmm. Lovely gal. She was quoted talking about, of course, living at the Playboy Mansion. She said, Hugh asked me to be one of his girlfriends, and I was like, I don't know what that means, but hell yeah, I'm there. She said, but I didn't know that sex was involved.
What?
He'd ask you if you wanted to go upstairs, and that was that.
What that did she think? That? Be a girlfriend at the Playboy Mansion is not going to involve sex?
I don't know. Maybe she thought he couldn't.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's...
Right? At that time, she was 18. He was 78.
I don't know. Ask around.
Right?
Right,
like
yeah.
A girlfriend.
That's sort of weird.
By the way, that's the best case scenario if you're with a guy who's 60 years older than you is if he can't have sex, right? Because you get all the benefits of being his girlfriend without any of the, you know, the icky parts.
Right. He asked her to go upstairs, though. What she's saying.
And that was that.
Yeah.
Ew.
Sorry about that.
At least he didn't ask her to go downstairs.
I mean.
Would have been worse, I'm just saying.
I mean, you just leapt over that line. Very, very good. That was very true as well.
That went south so fast!
All right, now on to someone that reminds Kevin of his mother. Awkward transition. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah, Bette Midler not impressed with kids today. Kids being a grown woman, really. Ariana Grande. She says that she doesn't want to think about her or see her slithering around on a couch with her silly high voice. And she says you should trust your talent and suggests, this is a quote, you don't have to make a whore out of yourself to get ahead. What?
By the way,
what indeed?
Not that I care that much, but when Bette Midler was 20, she ran around in skimpy outfits and shaked her boobs and did all
on
of
couches.
That stuff.
She still does that.
That's why I hate her. She's still that way. Ugh.
Let's talk more about how she reminds me of your mother.
She reminds me of anyone's mother. She's just no. Cover up.
Okay. Some new releases today. Shady 15, Eminem with various artists. Who's in for that?
I am.
Yeah. Good I times. Am. I'm good in. Times. Yes. David Guetta, listen. And for you, Selena Gomez. I think this one is right up Kevin's alley. Coming out today, Globalization Pitbull.
What?
You love him.
I do not like Pitbull.
Okay.
At all.
I know something you do like because I've heard the creator, Derek Waters, on a ton here. Drunk History Seasons 1 and 2 available on DVD today, as well as The Expendables 3. Tyler Perry's A Madea Christmas? No, I'm just going to stop. I'm Allie McKay. Oh, whoa. Celebrity birthdays. You guys, stop rushing me. No one was rushing me. Rancid guitarist Tim Armstrong. Jerry Ferrara, 35. Joel Kinnaman, Robocop the Killing. He's 35. Christina Applegate, 43. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman Show to Speak.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 10 minutes after 9.
What's happening right now? Is Dave assaulting our guest? What's he doing?
Christian is having trouble putting on the headphones.
And then they fell apart. So that part's not her fault.
Oh, they fell apart?
Yeah. The ear just fell off.
How could she fight zombies so easily and have so much trouble putting headphones
on?
I'm
not a recording artist. I'm an actress.
All right, let's get
you a little bit closer to that microphone there. And then we'll pretend none of that ever happened. We'll cut all that out in post. And we'll start again. Hit it, Steve. The Walking Dead, Sunday nights at 9 on AMC. Is there any show more popular than that? I don't think so. And I think it's all because of Rosita, ladies and gentlemen. Christian Serrato is the actress who plays Rosita. She joins us in studio right now on the Kevin Beach Show. And she came in and she just flawlessly put those headphones on like a boss, like she's been doing this her whole life. Hey, Christian, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
We have had about a dozen of your colleagues from The Walking Dead, actors and actresses, on the show over the years because we're huge, huge fans. And it's such a battle of wills every time we have one of you guys in because we have nothing but questions and you have no answers.
Yeah, well, I have all the answers. I'm just not allowed to say them.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
But what, or something that people can't see, you know?
What kind of media training do they give you guys in terms of real? I mean, because apparently Mr. Kirkman has put the fear of death into you guys because no one will ever say anything.
Well, that's just it. The fear of death. We will get written off the second we start opening our mouths. But
all right, let's start from the beginning. How'd you get on The Walking Dead? Tell me about that process.
I got a call for an audition and, went in and read once. It was fairly quick, which was really nice as an actress because usually things like that are super drawn out and give you an incredible amount of anxiety.
Yeah. Right.
So luckily it went very quick and I read twice and then they told me I was moving to Atlanta. So it happened really quickly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you read did you know what it was?
I knew what the show was. I had never seen the show. I'm really bad at my job in the sense that I tend to not watch television, and the television I do watch is all bad reality TV.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, so I was told specifically to watch the show before I went in to read. However, I thought that maybe if I went in and just kind of felt my way through the character and maybe if I knew her well enough that it wouldn't matter if I'd watched the show or not because I didn't want to be too nervous after I saw the show. And
so you made the decision to not do what they told you to do.
Well, it wasn't AMC or Walking Dead telling me to watch the show.
Oh, it was like my agents
and publicists and managers telling me to watch
it. But if you could have been a Real Housewife of Orange County instead of Rosita on The Walking Dead, you would have taken that deal, right?
Hands down.
did you go back? There's so much Rosita in the comic books, though, right? I mean, you can go back and learn a lot that way if you wanted to, right?
Yeah, that's what's cool about being on this show is that there's a manual. And if you ever have any questions or character traits that you want to attribute to the show, you could just go back and you can look at the comic book or see what the fans are saying online and things of that nature.
Although it does go different directions. It doesn't follow, the books.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I think that's why people love the show and stay on the edge of their seat. It's because we follow the comic book and we give them all of their, the incredible points that they want to see in the show, but we keep it fresh and interesting and keep them always, not quite knowing what's going to happen next.
What was your first episode?
My first episode was season 4, I think episode 10.
And that's when we met
Rosita, Abraham
and Jean lying liar who lies.
But that was a cool episode to come in on. They wanted to recreate our first comic book appearance. And so we emulated the comic book cover in the show, which was really fun to do.
Oh, that is cool. That's like a little Easter egg for the folks who read the book, right?
Yeah.
Those of us watching a TV didn't have anything to compare it to, but
yeah.
What does Rosita honestly think about Eugene's mullet, do you think?
I think Rosita just all she does all day is think about his mullet and
how can you not? Yeah. It's like a guy with a booger. I mean, how do you not look at you can't see anything else but that stupid mullet.
That's true. It really doesn't get talked about enough on the show.
So he's a lying liar who lies. So we know that. What happened to Abraham? He's just now just kneeling for the last two episodes, I think.
Yeah, Michael.
I think his brain
really
is broken, right?
Cutlets, move!
Yeah,
you're gonna get eaten.
It was really surprising for us when we all read the script, and Michael was like, "Michael and Josh have really intense dialogue, really interesting dialogue that's kind of hard to spit out."
Right.
And so we're always so impressed with them that they memorize these monologues for the show. And Michael and Josh had like one line because Josh is unconscious and Mike is,
in a coma.
So that was pretty funny.
What do you think of Rosita? To me, she seems like somebody who can defend herself, somebody who you would want on your apocalypse team, somebody who is, I mean, she's very strong, isn't she?
Yeah, what I like about Rosita is that she's really strong and really capable for being such a, small and young person, but she's learned a lot, and I think that's really cool about her. She's kind of sponged in all this information that she's learned in her journey,
She kind of has stepped up with Abraham kind of out. She's kind of stepped up and taken on a little bit more of a leadership role. Like, people are really listening to her now.
Yeah, that's that was a fun thing for me to get into on the show, because I always knew that that's who she was, that if she needed to be the leader, she could. And it wasn't necessarily that she was second to Abraham. It's almost as if she put herself in that position. She's very smart.
She was fine there when she needed to be.
Yeah.
Right.
But she realizes now that he's, you know, out of business for the time being, and that somebody's got to keep these people alive. And if it's got to be her, it's got to be her.
Now, I've been told that it's just TV and not everything that happens on The Walking Dead is real. I've been told that before.
That is a lie.
But the question I have for you is, there's no way in hell you guys really caught that fish, right?
Oh, no.
Okay, good.
No, but that was fun being in
really,
that
water. Really?
That's
your only question for
that's my only
question.
Everything else makes total sense to me, Kevin. All the rest of
the
stuff looks...
The walkers and everything is so
yeah,
realistic.
That looks real to me.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, really? Rosita could catch a fish like that? That's too good to be true.
That's the difference between you and I is I tweeted, I want to go fishing with Rosita.
Did you?
And you thought, they can't catch a fish that way.
I mean, I guess you could, but you'd have to be incredibly lucky, and I feel like it would take you 14 hours to catch one with a little net like that in the water, just grabbing at it. You know?
Yeah, everything we do right now on the show takes a really long time. Filtering the water probably took like a year to get.
Sure does that.
Yeah.
Getting a fish.
Do you think Rosita used to be a Girl Scout? How does she know how to filter water?
I think she learned it from Eugene, and I think all the other little traits that you might see from her, or you will see from her, probably just came from, you know, the backstory that we haven't learned about yet. Maybe her family.
No. Christian Serratos is our guest in studio. She is the actress who plays Rosita on The Walking Dead. Yes, we want to explore that a little bit more when we come back. How many episodes are left before the mid-season finale? Just one, right?
Just
the next
Sunday.
Episode is the mid-season finale.
Dude.
Okay, now, people die on the mid-season finale.
People die always on the show.
Right. But the governor went, right? And there was some other character, I don't remember who died on the mid-season. So, I have to ask... Is it you? It's not you. Tell me it's not you.
We have bad luck.
What happens is somebody will come on the show, like the guy that played, what's his name, Gareth?
Yeah. Mm.
He came on the show on Friday and then was killed on Sunday, and everybody blamed us, like it was our fault.
Oh,
however,
yeah,
we did have Chris on not long after that, and he's fine.
Right?
Yeah, see, so you never know. That's what I mean. The show keeps you on your toes.
You should see Kevin's pout right now.
Kevin, you don't really want to know anyway. You want to wait and find out Sunday night with everybody else. All right, Christian is our guest. We'll be right back with more after this on K-Rock. Congratulations to Laura Diaz. She is from Victorville, our latest winner of K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Ticket. She's going to be at night two. Got a chance for you to win them at the top of every hour all day long during the week from 9 till 5. Right now we're talking Walking Dead, Christian Serratos. Oh, excuse me. Hold on. I had this.
Christian Serratos
is in studio with us. She plays Rosita on The Walking Dead Sunday nights at 9 on AMC. Just one episode left. Are you ever grossed out by anything that you see on set or anything that you have to do or work with? Is anything actually personally difficult for you to do because of how grim it is?
You know what? I feel like such a little kid because I go to work and I see all that blood and gore and all that fun stuff, and getting messy is just awesome to me. There was one thing that I had kind of an issue with, and that was in episode 5, Self-Help. I had to sew up Abraham's hand.
Oh, yeah, right.
And that was a prosthetic that was placed on his hand in front of me, mm-hmm. and I had to lay down because the idea of, like, skin split.
Really?
Like, it made me feel
so
queasy.
So you
like I was
saw that it was a prosthetic.
Yeah. There's something
And you
me.
Still almost fainted.
Yeah.
What about Daryl's eye socket deadhead skull punch?
That stuff I think is so fun and awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah, but maybe if I was there, I would have had a problem watching it.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I know it's trickery and it's sorcery and it's magic or something. I don't know how they do what they do with the walkers on that show. It is unbelievable how gross they are, yet how realistic they are.
So realistic. It's cool to see them on set. I remember my first day on set in season 4. I saw them all, like, on their cell phones and eating lunch, just in full makeup. It was really weird, like, juxtaposed. But I asked if I could start taking photos of them when they were walking out of the lunch tent. And they were like, yeah, totally. And they started getting into character and walking towards me. I was like, whoa.
Really?
Yeah, it's super realistic.
Kind of freaks you out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and not knowing the show, you got the job. Did you watch the show then before
yes.
you went to
when,
Atlanta?
When I found out that I booked the project, I marathoned it. I watched all 3 seasons in like a week. I was a recluse. I fell in love with it and then was so thankful that I actually hadn't watched the show prior to reading because...
That's a lot of Walking Dead.
I would have been so nervous. Oh, yeah. I started like having dreams about zombies right. and it was crazy.
Is it kind of weird? There's so many people who work on the show that live in Los Angeles but spend most of the year in Georgia. Do you almost feel like it's your own little island out there with all those people that you know from that one job?
Yeah, it's kind of like Little Hollywood because a lot of other projects film down there too. So there's a bunch of us to, you know, hang out and play when we're not filming. But yeah, it's interesting the back and forth between Los Angeles and New York even and Atlanta.
Can you tell us anything about Sunday, which is the mid-season finale? Obviously, without giving away spoilers.
I can't tell you anything? I can't tell you anything. I can tell you that it's going to be really awesome.
I could have told you that. We don't need you in here for that.
Well, I mean, let's talk about where are we in the story? So basically, the team is trying to get Beth and Carol out of the hospital. I mean, I assume we're going to see some sort of resolution on that, right? We're going to see if the trade works.
Yeah, that would be a really good season finale. You guys should be writers. I mean,
don't mock us. All right, don't mock us. Christian. We're doing the best we can on very little information.
What about Eugene waking up from his coma?
That's
that
another thing
right at the end.
Yes, so we'll probably see how that relationship maybe comes back to fruition. Maybe Michael and Josh, Abraham and Eugene.
Yeah, you're helping a lot here, Christian. You really. Bringing it into sharp focus for us.
Sorry.
I'm surprised you didn't put Eugene down for watching while you and Abraham had sex.
Oh, no. I think that was gross. They probably are accustomed to that. That probably happens often. Maybe they need that to happen.
I feel like the sex would be grimy, and that would be a deterrent for a lot of people.
No, what else are you going to do in an apocalypse
but
like this?
Everybody have sex. Is so dirty, though, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, even us, they put dirt all over us beforehand, so we would look like...
It's a weird gig.
Yeah.
Or you get in the makeup chair and they make you dirty.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best part of it, though. Getting all.
You don't ever have to worry about what you look like and how many actresses can say that, right?
You know what? I was really excited about that coming into the show because I've worked on other projects and they fill you up with makeup and you end up not looking like yourself. And I know it's so small to be so excited about that, but coming to work and not having to really wear any makeup and getting to look like yourself is kind of a treat.
But if you're wearing the same clothes and they're all like, do people start to smell?
No, I mean, we're not that method. We do shower when you leave.
No, I know you do, but what about the clothes?
Oh, the clothes. Well, we have, like, duplicates and stuff. And I was asking you, Lynn, who's our incredible, like, wardrobe designer on set, how she washes our clothes without getting the dirt out. And I guess she uses baby detergent.
And that washes them, but keeps the dirt?
Yeah, because it's not so harsh that it won't, like, get everything off.
So they don't. I never heard of that.
No.
Me either.
Or they'll be dirt us up.
Although, to be fair, we're not looking for something to keep the dirt.
That's true.
I mean, it's not something we should know.
We are talking about The Walking Dead with actress Christian Serrato.
Christian Serrato.
You survived being in the Twilight movies and getting a taste of that fandom. Tell me about the fans of The Walking Dead. How much interaction do you have with them, and what's that like for you? Like just being approached on the street.
I mean, I feel like Twilight and The Walking Dead kind of have similar fan bases. They're both very, you know, dedicated. And, you know, they both had really strong fan bases. So I was kind of prepared a little bit for the Walking Dead fans. And I get to meet them often. You know, I do the cons and I get to meet large quantities of fans in one space, which is really nice. I love those things.
People always have advice for what they think your character should be doing.
Not really, because I feel like we all do it pretty well, which is, I think, why they haven't killed us off.
Well, that could be. You can't answer any questions.
It's in trouble.
I will try. I will try.
How did you get together with the Black Keys for this video?
Christian Serrato's.
I know. I can't. I forgot about that. It's so nostalgic to hear that. Christian Serrato's. That was fun. That was a fun shoot. I just got the call to do it, and I went out there and heard the song and realized I had heard the song before and was obsessed with it. So it was really cool to be a part of it.
You have a weird life, Christian.
I do, don't I? And everything I do has been kind of like sci-fi. Twilight was kind of interesting. Right. Walking Dead. And then even that Black Keys music video they made kind of like creepy and cool.
What would you like to do as an actress? What would you like your dream role be?
Oh, Lord. I have a plethora of dream roles. I'd like to continue working for as long as possible. I really like the trajectory I'm on right now. Mm-hmm. Doing The Walking Dead would probably be one of them. If you had asked me this question a year and a half ago, I would have said something like The Walking Dead. There's something about doing stunts and fighting and all that stuff that really, really makes me happy when I when I get to kill things on set and do really gritty, like, hand-to-hand combat type things and stuff like that. I learn new things. It really fascinates me.
Is it possible that Sunday night you take Carl out that way?
What is this thing about Carl? I love him.
He needs to die.
Kevin doesn't even know why he doesn't like Carl anymore, by the way.
I don't
just
think
something
I ever
he
did.
Says at this point.
I just know it isn't. He needs to die.
But he's so powerful now. I think it's so cool that he's grown up so much and he's now one of the toughest and most capable people.
Take off the cowboy hat. That's what it is. It's the cowboy hat.
All right. So we're out of time. So, Christian, so Sunday night, mid-season finale, and then how long do we have to wait till The Walking Dead comes back in 2015?
Good question.
Oh, whoa.
I know the month is February. I don't know which week, but I think it's in February.
February?
Yeah.
For Valentine's Day.
Well, we love Rosita. We are rooting for Rosita, and I'm so happy that we got a chance to meet the woman who plays Rosita. We really appreciate you coming in.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And now it's time for A Moment with Allie McKay.
He wanted all the female staffers, the young ones, interns and assistants, to be in the room as he eated. Eat it?
You said eat it.
I did.
That happened.
Hi, everyone.
Need a moment with.
That was A Moment with Allie McKay.
Ow. USA! USA! USA!
Well done, Allie. Well done indeed.
I am mortified that I have been on this show 4 times, mm-hmm. and I have 2 moments with. That's a really sad.
By the way, you know how long it takes Lisa to get 2 moments with? About 5 years.
Yes! Lisa, you're good at
You're
what
challenging
you do.
Me for the crown.
That's disturbing on so many levels.
That is not what you want.
Oh, a guy on Twitter was like, you had me at aided. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Oh, for the love of all things holy. Want to talk about some ratings?
Sure.
Okay. Sure.
Let's talk ratings of Sunday night's American Music Awards. They were down 10% in total viewers, but here's the upside. The best numbers in a decade among teens 12 to 17.
It's hard to get teenagers to watch network television, by the way.
And guess what? Those teenagers are going to be older soon and spend money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's great. That is wonderful. However, of course, Sunday night football, the juggernaut that it is, 20 million people for that Cowboys-Giants game, knocking off The Walking Dead for the first time in 3 weeks.
That's really shocking.
I found that shocking.
It's
not shocking to me. It's shocking to me that Walking Dead does that well.
That many people.
I mean, that is insane.
Sunday night is the best night for television.
It is, and there's a lot on.
It's like, so much.
Who can keep up?
But let me ask you guys this question.
Tape, yeah.
And I feel like I'm fighting a losing battle every time I bring this up, but I got to ask.
Well, bring it up then.
There are many people who, even in 2014, can't tape or watch more than 2 channels at a time, right?
Right.
Yes.
Lots of people.
Most of us. Right.
Unless you got a fancy like Genie DVR or something like that where you can tape more, most people are limited to 2 shows. Why do they keep putting sometimes 4 shows on at the same time that you want to watch instead of putting some of them on Saturday night or some of them on Friday night where people watch stuff on DVR now.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I was going to say they don't watch on Friday or Saturday, but they would.
They don't have to.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, I mean, it just seems like you're I know it's the most watched night. Maybe it's the most watched night because 800 good shows are on Sunday night. Spread it out a little bit.
And the NFL.
Maybe the government is trying to have us clone one another.
I like it. Go with that.
Thank you.
I don't follow the logic of that at all. But
if they can have funding for cloning, then there's 2 of you. You can watch the shows you want to watch on Sunday.
All right, not so much from you, McKay. Listen, what I'm saying is, no. Do you tape?
Flush it out. Keep going.
Besides Saturday Night Live,
work through that one.
Okay.
Besides Saturday Night Live at 11:30 that some of us tape, do you tape anything else on Saturday nights? Why not put some of the shows on that night? I'm just saying it would make it easier for us. That's all.
I do not.
And when Walking Dead numbers come back towards the end of the week for DVD, DVR, whatever, those might actually beat the NFL.
Yeah,
could be. We don't even know if that's even...
Because people don't record football.
Well, exactly. That's the thing you watch live.
Right. If it's a live event, you pretty much have to watch it live.
Yeah. But I do love people that record live events, then tell you not to spoil them. I recorded the Super Bowl, you guys. No spoilers. Oh, shut up. All right.
Bean.
No. Not with live events. Live events are fair game. There's no such thing as a spoiler.
Okay.
Bean.
took a turn. Halle Berry has taken her daughter's father to court. This is not to get more money, give less money, none of those things. Nope. It's because he has highlighted and straightened Nala's hair. She is 6 years old.
Wow, are you straightening a six-year-old's hair?
Why?
But, okay, but I understand that question, I mean, and I'm with you.
That's a big deal.
But okay, why take weird. To court?
But it's... do you go to court over that as well?
No.
I mean, all of this is weird.
You would think you could resolve that with him, but apparently not. So the judge has ruled, ordered that neither parent can do anyone to Nala's hair.
Okay.
Anyone? Anything? Good Lord. You guys, what's happening?
See how it works?
What's happening?
See how it works.
This never happened to me until you.
You used to laugh at my moments with so much. And you would tweet how funny they are.
Oh, goodness. I'm Kevin adjacent.
There you are.
Painful.
You never know.
I agree. Snoop Dogg, you know that he is a proponent of anything quality and luxurious. He also loves the smell of anything clean and classic.
I would not have guessed that.
Clean and classic. That is why he is reportedly launching a high-end line of limited edition candles. They're going to come in both white rose and baby powder varieties.
Why?
Snoop
Dogg's in the house.
Why is he
just in time
putting out candles?
I don't know.
It's a weird thing.
He seems like he's busy. But not so much to not make baby powder candles. If I walk into someone's house, I'm like, oh, did you just baby powder yourself? Awesome. It smells great in here. That's just gross.
That ain't cool, man. That hurt my heart, man, to see that.
I apologize. Whoa.
Wow,
didn't know he was listening.
Right there.
He is right there. I don't know if you guys knew. Members of System of a Down?
Yes.
Armenian.
We actually did know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are all Armenian.
Right.
However, they have never played a show in Armenia. Which sounds crazy, doesn't it?
It does sound crazy.
Well, don't you worry your pretty little heads. They announced the tour is going to, you know, just stop by Armenia on April 23rd. They announced that in a tour video yesterday. It's the Wake Up the Souls tour. Wake Up the Souls.
You think they'll be popular there?
I bet.
I imagine. Yes.
I bet. It'll go well.
I imagine. Okay.
It'll be good. You guys know I love me a costume.
Yes,
well,
we
you're
do.
Wearing one. If that's
I am dressed as a llama. Mm-hmm. Contrary to popular belief, it is not a moose. However, thank you to the man that said, I dig your udders. Which, not sure where he was going with that, but thank you, Ronnie.
Oh, he's the one?
Right?
He's the guy?
Yes. Well, it was at Bingenheimer, so I'm like, awesome. That works. Well, here's the deal. The Wizard of Oz Cowardly Lion costume. How much do you think that would fetch at an auction?
Oh, wow.
Oh, the actual
That's a
one.
The
pretty famous
one.
Piece of movie memorabilia, yes. That's for sure.
I can never guess this because I'm not a collector of this kind
right.
of stuff.
Right.
$50,000?
Nope.
Not that much?
No.
More?
Oh,
way
yeah,
more.
Way
yeah.
more.
Yeah.
$150,000.
Like millions? Yeah.
Millions.
$3.7 million.
Oh, my God.
The piano from Casablanca, $2.9 million. I mean, I just want to have stuff that I can sell.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Having stuff to sell?
No, yeah. But spending $3.7
like, so
million
with it?
Dollars
right?
on
you
that.
Put it on a... model well, would, in your house or something?
Yeah, I would imagine you'd have to display it somehow.
I'd wear it daily.
You wouldn't wear
you
it if you
would.
Paid $3.7 million.
Yeah, if I had $3.7 million, I'd wear that and play the piano from
okay.
Casablanca.
I like it. I like your
Thank
style.
You. Thank you so much. Hey, some birthdays today. Tim Armstrong, he's 48. Actress Christina Applegate, she is 43. Looking great.
Yeah.
Jerry Ferrara, 35. An actress from Arrow, Katie Cassidy, 28. That is my last Showbiz Beat of the Day. I'm Allie McKay.
Nice to done, Allie.
Thank you.
Thank
you, Allie.
Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have RJ Bell on because you have Thursday and Friday off, and there's like three football games on Thursday for
okay.
Thanksgiving. So we have RJ Bell.
He's a wizard.
He is a wizard.
He is a wizard.
Although he did pick Arizona, so he's not perfect. We also have the Movie Beat with the Movie Man. We have a couple of Miss Double D contestants in the studio. We have to start that because we're going to
yeah.
It's time.
Hey, quick reminder, go to KROQ.com and cast your vote for your favorite of the 10 lovely ladies that are in the running to be Miss Double December 2015, please. And make plans to join us a week from Friday in Fullerton at the Slide Bar as we crown next year's winner.
Brand new Internet Roundup and Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage tomorrow morning.